Hi, this is Carlos Zuma, and this is The Secrets of the Alpha Man. This is how to get rid of that nice guy that's plaguing you and get laid. Get the women that you want in your life. This is the audio transcription of the ebook itself, which you can listen to while you're driving or anywhere you may be. I do encourage you, if you are driving and listening to this program and I give any kind of exercise, either pull over to write down notes or do the exercise, or wait until you're not driving. Safety first, man. I'm opening with a quote from the movie Fight Club, as spoken by Tyler Durden. It's one of the most important quotes of the movie, and it's essentially the entire movie about nothing more than this current state of man that we're experiencing. "Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see squandering. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. And we're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off." London in 2003. "Geniuses and criminals may not seem to have much in common, but they do their best work in their 30s and mainly to impress the opposite sex." This is a news excerpt from Reuters in London in July of 2003. When Satoshi Kanazawa of the University of Canterbury in New Zealand studied biographies of prominent, mostly male scientists, he discovered that they made their key discovery before their mid-30s, around the same age that criminal behavior peaks. He believes in the male competitive urge to attract females as a driving force for the scientific and criminal achievements, according to New Scientist magazine. "They do whatever they do in order to win the sexual attention of women," Kanazawa said. He added that the competitive drive decreases with age as men's priority shifts from competing for women to taking care of their offspring. Kanazawa also found that marriage dampens the drive in both arenas, the magazine added, reprinted from CNN.com. "When women go wrong, men go right after them." Mae West. "Love is the delusion that one woman differs from another." H.L. Mencken. "Even if man could understand women, he still wouldn't believe it." A.W. Brown. "Women are never disarmed by compliments. Men always are. That is the difference between the sexes." Oscar Wilde. Introduction. Haven't you always wondered what it was that certain men, great men, had that made them so successful in life? How they managed to rise to the top of the heap? You've probably even heard and understood that the men who get the most out of life, the most women, the most money, the most success, better jobs, the most sex and satisfaction overall, those men were of a slightly different breed than, say, the clerk at the 7-Eleven or the Circle K. They have a certain dominance about them. Yes, they're assertive, but it's much more than that. They have some innate character quality that allows them to be more confident, persistent, and generally get whatever they go after. It's called alpha male behavior in scientific terminology. I call it alpha man behavior for the work that we're about to do. This quality is what I've studied for years, and now I want to pass along the secrets of to you. You see, the fantastic thing about this behavior, this alpha man behavior, is that it's not something you have to be born with, as it is in the animal kingdom. There, if you're a submissive male, you will only be the animal that gets the scraps of food, the job of defending and bowing down to the alpha, and you'll probably never get any sex. Now, if you behave this way in the human world as a submissive male, you'll get the same results, but you're not condemned to this fate if you have the ability to learn the right behaviors. That's right, you can change your status in the world from the needy to the wanted. When I was younger, I knew that success with women was what I wanted, and it was important, but it really reflected a higher level of status in other areas. Getting laid was really an offshoot of a confident and aggressive male pattern of behavior that meant success in all areas of my life. If you succeed with women, you have the seeds of greatness for success with your career, your family, your friends, your hobbies. Ask yourself, what would you give to know what the alpha man is made of? Well, I'm about to show you exactly that. Some of the areas that I've researched for the creation of this program is biological cause and effect of the alpha man. Sociology, influences reinforcing our patterns of behavior, human motivational psychology, dating and seduction of women, body language, NLP, essential leadership capabilities, charisma, Eastern philosophy, martial arts, negotiation and persuasion, even sales. I've investigated these and many other areas of human potential so that I could discover what the alpha man was all about, and how I could model this prodigal man for others to study and learn from. Not just to understand, but to make massive changes in beliefs and behaviors to turn your life around and make it what you want. The world has changed quite a bit over the last couple hundred years. What once was a fairly stable landscape of male-female interaction and behavior has evolved, though not in the same way we have evolved, into a rocky terrain of uncertainty and despair. Why do we need this book? Men, more than ever, have lost their way. They've fallen prey to a popular media that tells women that they can have it all, be liberated, and they think that this is now their birthright and entitlement. Women are acting more like men, and it's only because most men don't act like men, so somebody has to. Women need men to be alpha men now, more than ever. They don't need nice guys. They also no longer need men for the same reasons they once did. Hunting for food, protection from rival tribes, physical strength, etc. They can buy their meat safely in a safe way. They can pay their taxes and have the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines protect their homeland, as well as the local police and firemen to be on call for their emergencies. They can hire a man to move their stuff or fix their appliances. They no longer need us to survive. So now a woman is free to feel attracted to the specific behaviors that she once used to decode which guy would be good for her and which guy wouldn't. Dominant males in our society are in the minority. The truth is, they always have been. Have you ever watched one of those nature shows where the male lion gets to sire his offspring with many females, as many as he can find time to bang in between naps? Well, I hate to tell you this, but real life for humans works much in the same way. The men with the genes that grant the characteristics to be most successful in their environment are the winners in this race. Note that this does not mean the strongest or the smartest, just the fittest. All organisms in this planet have one imperative that overrides all other conscious thinking or intelligent thinking. When it comes down to it, the one thing we will always struggle to do is to survive and to procreate. Remember one thing. This is a course in dominance, not aggressiveness. They are not the same thing. I'm going to teach most of these concepts from a particular vantage point, that of the single man that wants to date and sleep with single women. However, I'm going to branch out from just this one area and show you how alpha man behaviors are demonstrated in many other areas of your life. I'll touch on your sphere of influence in the world, which includes your job, your friendships, your goals, your family, and we know there isn't always a lot of friendship there, and your hobbies. Considering that popular culture and media channels today would have you believe that if you feel bad, oh, my heart just cries out for you, you wounded soul, you need to be coddled and nursed. This program will do no such fucking thing. You're going to get some severely straight talk here, my friend. And if my use of the word fuck is offending to you, well, that's going to be the least of your worries as we dive straight into the behaviors you have that may undermine your alpha status and as we seek to rid you of them. You have to stop being a nice guy. It's time to find your male power again. Feminine is attracted to masculine. That is the way of the world. Think of this program as a big, stinging bitch slap. Because if you're not an alpha man, you're a bitch wannabe, and you deserve the wake-up call that you're about to get. We're not going to pull punches here. If you've ever seen the movie Full Metal Jacket, and you're familiar with R. Lee Ermey's portrayal of the drill instructor, well, you've got a good idea of the role you're going to be playing here. Don't confuse my attitude with some out-of-touch misogynist dinosaur who has no idea to relate to the women of today, and therefore takes a position of male anger in order to further his agenda. I'm not nearly that clever. What I am is a guy who has gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. Asshole to nice guy and back again, and finally finding my inner alpha man. I lost my hate, as we all should, but I kept the right amount of pissed off to fuel my forward progress. You'll hear this several times. Get a little pissed off. If you think that life is about achieving this nirvana state of peace and harmony, you're dead wrong. Life is a constant dynamic tension between the emotional forces that move us. The only perfect, satisfied, and mellow state is when you're laid out in a coffin as warm food in the local cemetery. You can rest then. Until then, it's time for you to live. Enjoy life. Enjoy the turmoil and the shitstorms that life throws at you. This is how you're tested. This is how your soul is chiseled to perfection for the next life, or whatever you believe comes next, if anything. The challenges in life are a joy when you realize that without them, we'd all be frightened and lost without these trials. Hardship gives our life meaning and lets you know when you're really accomplishing something of value. You're going to need to take action to change your state of being. You're going to have to start getting disgusted with the way things are if you want them to change. So I'm going to give you the steps for you to do just that. I'll give you exercises and other real-life examples of how you can become an alpha man in your world. All those sappy self-help books on the shelves of the bookstores love to try and explain this stuff and never really give you any course of action to take. Not this one. This is going to give you the information and the action you need to change. It is better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. This book is written by a man, about men. My examples are of male excellence, not female. I appreciate the great strides women have made in society and that they have a long way to go to achieve true equality and all that, and I think they're pretty much there right now, but I'm all for breaking the glass ceiling for women. so that they can hold the same jobs for the same pay. I want you to understand that I did not create this program from an angry, woman-hating, chauvinistic standpoint. I truly believe in women as equals. This is all about male empowerment. There is a need to recognize certain things about men and women that, at first glance, appear to be not very politically correct. I will cover these later, but suffice to say, I want every man that listens to this program to understand that this program is intended as male empowerment, not woman bashing or promoting anger at the opposite sex. Everything I tell you is for the sole purpose of building up men as the leaders and masculine roles that they are meant to play, and once did. For you English majors out there, I'll use the participle he instead of the trendy, non-gender specific he or she. Everything in here comes from a standpoint of pro-man, not anti-woman. We're here to build up our best traits of our gender, not smother the woman's. The two are radically different agendas. Women want to be led by men. There are some women who are capable of great leadership, but it's not always natural for them. When it comes to relationships, women want men who are alphas and strong. You must be a leader. You are becoming an alpha man with his eyes on the horizon, the front of the pack, not the ass of the dog in front of you. Even if you're not in the lead, you need to start looking for the gaps between other dogs and plan your passing strategy. Sneak a few peeks at the mountains in the distance. Get motivated, man. The path is long, but the goal is worthwhile. In fact, for some, this goal is all the meaning you'll ever need to have in your life. A midlife crisis happens to a man because he wimped out at some point and gave up his alpha man behavior to be a she-man tenant in his wife's house. They lost touch with the fact that humans are the dominant species on this planet, partly because of male strengths. So he goes out and buys a sports car or bangs a 20-something gal to regain his lost sense of masculinity. I want you to remember this the next time a woman tries to shame you for being a man. All great upward thrusts in civilization, by and large, have been accomplished by men, and men in leadership positions, men with desire and passion, and that aggressive alpha quality that pushes us to achieve. Women don't usually have the same drives that we do, and that's okay. They're not as aggressively driven as we are, or as tortured by their need to aspire and be more, compete for more, and so on, for their jobs, for their art, for their wealth, and for their families. Do you remember that line from the movie Wall Street? It was part of the famous speech by Gordon Gekko, Michael Douglas's character. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. I remember hearing that speech and thinking it was a clever lie, but now, years later, I believe it's mostly true. Maybe not for the criminal behavior that he was involved in the movie, but it's true about every alpha man you'll ever meet. We have a kind of greed in our genes. Call it selfish, call it what you will, but it's necessary to us, and it will not be eliminated in yours or my lifetime. There are a lot of people out there who dream of utopia, well, as do I, where nice guys get the fair end of things, and power is not everything we seek, nor is it wielded blindly. But that's not the way it is. We need to work in that direction while still satisfying our programmed and completely normal needs. Since the first days we fell out of the trees in Africa, or left the Garden of Eden, if that's what you want to believe, we've always been in a battle for resources. Men gather the resources so that those who ally themselves with him will survive. And ultimately, women are another resource to us. Survival has gotten quite a bit easier since those days, but do you think that our technological progress over the last century cancels out thousands and thousands and thousands of years of evolution, just like that? Do you think that we might still carry those genes that demand that we do whatever is necessary to get our genes into the next generation of humans? You bet your ass we do. All the Nintendos and PlayStations and plasma screen televisions are just more sophisticated entertainment. Technology is actually nothing more than the toys that make you feel the illusion of success in your nervous system. The cooler gadgets you have, the less desire you have to go out and pursue your real passions in life. What I want you to realize is that there's a part of you that will never be totally satisfied, no matter how many shiny toys you acquire. You have needs that cannot be simulated. You need to be an alpha man. You need to achieve. It's your most inherent alpha characteristic. Winning is everything. Winning in your personal life, spiritual life, professional life, sex life, all of it. That saying about how it's not important who wins or loses, but how you play the game, that's just a way of making losers feel better. Winning is all that matters. And this isn't the winning that requires somebody else to lose so that you can win. It's the kind of winning that helps everybody, the win-wins, and doesn't require you to hurt another person. Here's another great line from the movie The Rock. Your best. Losers always whine about their best. Winners get to go home and fuck the prom queen. Remember that. The rewards in life do not come from taking it easy on yourself all the time. The ones who reap the gold are those who have the armor to withstand a little battle and then come back for more. Don't discount the value of winning. I'm going to present this material as holistically as I can, but since most men judge their masculinity, their alphaness, based on their success or failure with women, I'll go frequently into examples that pertain to dating, seduction, and sex. Hey, is there any area more important to men? I don't think so. As we progress, you'll see that the same traits that enable great success with women are only a small part of the larger whole. When you experience the ability to attract women, you'll also see how your alpha man power translates into just about every area of your life. Your ability to seduce women is a power and product of your skills at persuasion, sales, dominance, self-development, hell, right on down to dieting and dressing right. Tired of books that give you a bunch of great information but no way to really use it? Well, you're not going to have that problem here. This program will provide alpha strategies. These goals are ones that you should consider part of your progress towards becoming a stronger alpha man. I'm also going to give you alpha tactics to use whenever possible. These are the practical actions you can take in real-life situations. And you're also going to hear about some alpha exercises that get you moving in the right direction. Take the time to do these for your own good. Don't try to be the smart guy who just smiles and nods as he reads through, thinking cleverly to himself, "Yeah, I see where he's going with that." You grow by doing these exercises, not by shortcutting past them. Don't try to outsmart me. This book is an active manual, meaning that you're going to be asked to do things to improve your abilities instead of just sitting there and passively reading or listening along. I can make you feel good all day long, but what we both want is for you to get more success with women and life as an alpha man. Watch for these strategies, tactics, and exercises. I take them very seriously. I didn't invent them as filler. The difference between the guys who get some and those who don't is made when you stop to take the time to do a little bit of work. I can't possibly give you every clever phrase and answer to every situation in this book that women are going to throw at you, but I can teach you the right skills to develop that will allow you to handle everything and anything. There's a saying, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. I believe that all men have done and achieved through history has been an offshoot of our drive to survive and succeed for women. Our mating drive is what pushes us to do the things we must. Put it in even simpler terms, a man doesn't feel like a man unless he can get himself some ass now and again. So while the examples and content will help you in all areas, I'm going to be highlighting the ones that help you get laid. A man can do almost anything if he has a strong enough why driving him. The need to perpetuate the species is a pretty big why. I'm going to ask you to look at this as being secondary, though, in the grand scheme of things. What comes first is making you the alpha man that you are capable of being. And then all those hot chicks will just line up for you. Become the man first, and the women will follow, not the other way around. Ultimately, I found the guys were out there looking for the magic words, or the perfect introduction, or the perfect opener, or the trick, or the tactic that would make them a success with women. Let me state this for the record. No action works on a woman unless it comes from the belief systems of an alpha man. In other words, you can say the exact same words with the exact same woman that an alpha man used to attract her, and his words won't work for you. Why? Because of his belief system. The confident alpha man comes across with a congruency that insecure and most average guys just don't have. Congruency means that their actions and words appear to match their inner beliefs. More on this in a bit. That's why I chose to address the foundation and fundamentals here that will help you be successful with women, with money, with your family, with your career, and so many more things. Because all the tips and tactics in the world won't work for you if you haven't taken a little bit of time to develop and cultivate an alpha man attitude. My story. I typically don't usually like to share a lot about my background with people, and as a result, I'm thought of as being very private and reserved. And that's changed a lot for me in the last couple of years now. I think that telling you about what I've gone through might help clarify what you may be going through in your own life. I used to believe it was egotistical and self-absorbed to talk about yourself, and I felt self-conscious about it. What I realize now is that life requires us to expose ourselves and to take those risks. In the late part of 2002, I lost my mother to cancer. It first showed up in her parotid glands, and she was treated by surgery and radiation therapy that left her without the ability to produce saliva. Later, the cancer returned into her spine, and again, they treated with radiation, and that seemed to stop the progression. However, in July of 2002, a test had come back showing the disease had spread to her lungs and liver. She was put on a chemotherapy treatment immediately. Unlike most treatments, this did not leave her feeling nauseous or any of the other harsh side effects that are normally associated with chemotherapy. She felt hopeful that the treatments were effective, but this was to be short-lived. Her next test showed that the cancer had not been stopped. She was given a lifespan of no more than 5 years, according to the doctors, but they were unwilling to make any estimation regarding the sickness or her ability to overcome it. 5 years actually shortened down to 3 months. She died in our care at my aunt's house in upstate New York in October of that year. Her father, my grandfather, who had fallen ill around the same time, he died 2 days later. A few months later, my grandmother on my other side of the family also passed away. Around the same period of my life, I lost many of my close friends as well due to relocation out of the area. Shortly after the death of my mother and grandfather, I fell into what some people might call a slight depression. I did what I could to work through the issues and keep a positive outlook, but I found myself without enthusiasm or passion. It was like the life had been sucked right out of me. The relationship I had with my girlfriend came to an end about the same time. Then my best friend married and moved about 40 miles away. Shortly after that, my Italian grandmother passed away from complications due to Alzheimer's. Sounds like quite a bit of hardship, huh? I tell you this story not to depress you or to get your sympathy or your pity. I wanted to tell it to you so you can understand that there is a will in all of us men, to survive even the most horrific of events. I believe it's our natural survival instinct, and that if you can tap into this energy, this drive to live, you can find this alpha man. There's a positive footnote to all that suffering that may help you see what the point of this is. After all those experiences, I pulled my energy together into writing ebooks and starting up my company dedicated to bringing you the best information for getting success with women. Everything that basically became CarlosHuma.com. Survival is our only imperative. Your willingness to do what it takes to stay alive is what ultimately has the most positive effect on the generations that follow you, because your actions ensure that they will get to prosper. That's the benefit of your greed. I don't want to sound like a Gloria Gaynor song here, chanting and clapping about how I will survive. Ultimately, you will survive if you are a survivor. More on this later. And the beauty about being a man, a human man, is that you get to choose to be an alpha man. We're the only species on this planet that is capable of massively altering its own destiny. We can choose who we want to be. Other animals must settle for their status at birth, and they do not deviate from their natural course. We have the power of reason and thought, and that allows you to break free from the mold of mere genetics. I believe that we may not be able to change our entire species, but we can consciously change ourselves. There are some things that your genetic blueprint has decided for you, but there are others that have not. These are the ones that we can change. If you doubt this, I strongly suggest you watch the movie Gattaca. It's a very moving experience and a message I don't think you'll soon forget. I'll be pointing out a lot of movies as examples in this book to help you visualize the behavior model that you're actually looking for the alpha man. Reach down. Grab your balls. Those are figuratively and literally everything about being a man. If yours are a little shrunken and tucked away, we're going to pull them out and inflate them to the size of basketballs. And then we're going to bronze them. It's time to roar, man. A few words about change. I just want to be myself. I don't want to change to suit other people. I only want women and other people to love me for who I am. Well, this is hardly a new concept, but I have to restate the most common of all fallacies. I call these things fallacies after phallus, regarding the myth of being yourself. Okay, I'm relating this to men's search for a woman, but it also applies to all relationships in an alpha man's life. You're not being yourself when you insist that it's more natural to be a wimp than it is to be an alpha man. In other words, most men cop out to the, I don't want to have to do X, Y, and Z to get a woman interested. And then they'll act self-righteous about how much better they are for not playing all those games. What it amounts to is bullshit. Hey, I used to say the same thing. I used to believe that, damn it, I'm going to just be myself and not have to do all those lines and magic tricks and all those clever pickup games, and women will want me for who I am. And if they don't, then there. Well, I'm here to tell you that a woman does not want you for who you are, but who she imagines you can be for her. A woman does not love the man, but she loves the man that makes her feel that she is special and unique. You see, your friends don't want you solely for the person you are, but the enjoyment that you bring into their lives. I know it sounds terribly selfish, but it's always true. You're the same way. When a person becomes more of a pain than a pleasure, you avoid them. We're driven by selfish needs. Let me say it one more time, very simply. People only love you for how you make them feel. No one is loved based strictly on their own value, but the value that they transfuse to other people. They are loved for the feelings that they instill in the people around them. It's a common mistake to believe that you can just open your kimono and, ta-da, love me, ladies, for this is who I am. This leads to bitterness, especially when people don't give you back what you think you're entitled to get for being this really great person you're supposed to be, right? So you have to learn how to be true to yourself. but selectively present those parts of you that make other people feel good about themselves. Sound complicated? It's not, actually. I recently took an online test that determines my particular dating profile. You know, they go through all the parts of your disposition, your sexual taste, your introversion, extroversion, all that stuff, just to figure out who would be a good match for you. I thought it might be another one of those lame tests dreamed up by a relationship expert, but it actually turned out to be fairly insightful. The most important part I got out of it, though, was that this test reflected that I was compatible with about 90% of what women want in relationship qualities. Now, we all know that what women say they want, what they actually respond to, are often very different things. But how's this for an assumption? If I am what they say they want, then why not also demonstrate the attraction qualities that they need to see and win from both sides? After all, why don't those 90% of all women just come running to my door and beat it down just to get with me, especially if I am what they say they want? That's what all these skills and techniques are here for, my man, because the real problem in dating and seduction isn't that we men aren't good enough for them in any real way. The problem is getting past the behavioral barriers that women put up so that we can get them to see how great we can be for them. It's the necessary mating dance, and it's a game that must be played. Women screen us out because we represent a disruption. We introduce chaos and change into their orderly lives. Unless we present them with enough pleasure to warrant it, they would rather avoid the pain that we represent. More about this delicate relationship of pain and pleasure later on. This may seem like a debate over weird philosophical details, but it's not. These skills you must learn do not change you in any way for the worse, as long as the person you are is not bad to begin with. That's the beauty of adding them to your reserve of seduction abilities. So let's get off this high horse of, I just want to be me, and understand that growth entails letting go of those parts of you that are not serving you, as well as adding new parts that will get you what you want. Don't defend your ego, sculpt it. Being self-righteous about just being you is another way of saying, I'm okay with losing a little bit longer so that I don't have to change. It's a cop-out, and not even a good one at that. Stay entrenched in the same old lame belief system, and you're going to get exactly what you deserve. And I also don't buy the line of, if I get laid less, so be it. That's another rationalization for self-imposed celibacy. We all want more sex. Even women want more sex. Every man who thinks he's making some great statement of honor by pretending he's got integrity for not changing is lying to himself. He's just trying to make himself feel better about not having to go through the pain of growth and change. Thinking you're noble for not changing is actually just stubbornness. Emerson said it best, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Here's a thought. Why not do more good to the world by giving women what they want, get more of what you want, and let go of the need to serve your own self-image? That seems like a better win-win to me. No one will ever remember you after you're dead for the hobbies you had or your other winning characteristics. Only what you did for other people. Look at every memorable person that is celebrated through history, and you'll see this is what the ultimate value of a man is. So stop putting so much effort behind not changing. Only the insecure refuse to change. Alpha exercise. Get out a sheet of lined paper, list down the left-hand side all of your positive qualities. On the right side, list all the areas you need to work on. Be honest here. This is where you can show real virtue by honestly appraising your strengths and weaknesses. On the back of the page, I want you to write a paragraph that describes who you think you are as a person. Detail all the parts of your personality that shows who you are. Everything you can come up with, including age, appearance, personality, hobbies and interests, current lifestyle, future goals. This list should be essentially all the reasons that a woman would want to be with you. Now, if you can't come up with anything, you're going to have to work at this a lot harder. Everybody has plenty of positive traits that a woman would want. It's your job to dig them up, polish them, and find the best way to put them in your store window so that she can find what you're selling. If you keep this stuff hidden in the basement, you're never going to get any business. You should also keep an eye out for things that may not be attractive to other women, or even most men for that matter. I used to play D&D, which is Dungeons and Dragons, as a kid, and I even listened to disco music. But those aren't the traits that women are going to find very attractive, so they stay in the cellar. Keep your list handy, because it will come in handy later in this book, as well as in your own personal development plan. Important. You better find your pain and use it. You're about to hear a program that will change forever your perceptions of men and women, and a great many of the fallacies created in the 20th century. Starting in the 60s, men started to adopt a great many changes in response to the empowerment of women, and few of them were any good. Men softened as women hardened. We accommodated as they demanded. We gave in as they began to flaunt their sexual control. Please remember that I'm not some woman-hating dinosaur here, okay? I'm going to say it again and again. I genuinely believe in the equality of women, but we've been changing, and not for the better. Now, what's most important to you and me at this moment as you're scrolling through this little program and listening to it and wondering what you're about to learn is that you find your pain and begin to use it to your advantage. I'm going to dedicate a whole chapter of this program to understanding the power of this concept and bringing about change in your life, but I wanted to cover this briefly right now. Before you got too far in and started to feel that draining weakness flood over you when you thought about the prospect of having to change. You have to find your own reason to start overcoming your limiting beliefs and make the changes I'm about to propose to you. You've got to reach deep into your soul and find your personal reasons, or this information will only serve to enlighten you, not change you or improve you. If you can't find the blood-boiling, teeth-grinding, someone-just-stole-your-girlfriend reason to get motivated, you're never going to get where we're going. I'm serious about this. Take a good look at your life. Have the balls to face it squarely. You've been in the sandbox and had dirt kicked in your eyes? What was his name? Is there enough pent-up anger at that asshole to fuel your willingness to change? To get dominant and alpha? Use it. Use this anger and overcome your limitations. Excuse me? Your dad beat you? Great. Use that anger at him to change your behavior, not to spend years in therapy trying to understand what it all means. What's that? Oh, your wife cheated on you for 10 years with your best friend? And then they published nude pictures of you with your fist up a cow's butt? You're pissed off about that? Oh, spectacular. Abso-fucking-lutely marvelous. Now, what are you going to do? Sit home and cry about it as you read through another self-help book about how to heal your tender spirit? Are you going to loaf around and watch television to ignore the pain and dull your senses? No. You're going to take those insults, those abuses, those injustices, and you're going to recycle them into a better you. That's all you can ever do to win over those people that did these things to you in the first place. Hey, maybe you're a pretty average guy like me, right? You don't have a lot of aggression. No one's ever really fucked with you that badly. You've had a few tough breaks, and who hasn't? Life's okay. No one beat you or yelled at you. You just take it easy. You might even think that you're a nice guy. I'll tell you something. You're still angry in there somewhere. It's man's nature to be angry. We're pissed about something from cradle to grave, my man, and even the most easygoing stone surfer I know had a nugget of "argh" in his system, a red-hot chili pepper of "fuck you" shoved up his anus that could turn this gentle dude into a raving Charles Manson if you knew what buttons to push. For some of you, your particular anger may require some real professional psychological treatment, and there is some of that out there. If so, you should just decide right here and now that if you waste another day recycling this bitterness instead of getting on with the real work of being the person you want to be, you're pissing your life away. Understand this, my friend. You are not put here to discover yourself. You are put here to create yourself. Forget those head monkeys that want you to go through years of endless hours of pointless therapy to dredge up the anger of your childhood. You already know what was fucked up about it. Now it's time to move on. Use this knowledge to do what you know you need to do. Therapists are really just expensive friends in most cases. Swear to yourself right this minute that you'll read this information and let it get you angry, frustrated, or motivated. Let it do anything but allow you to calmly and tiredly scroll through these pages. Get fired up. You've got work to do to become alpha. I work on this stuff every damn day of my life, and I'm still not there yet, but the best part is that I started. And I'm a lot further down the path than most people because I just got going. Meanwhile, I watch friends and family flush years of their life down the cosmic toilet as they hope that they can make their past hurts get all better now, if they could just understand it or learn to forgive. Look, you only have control over this minute, right now. The past is over, done, forget it. You can't change it. The future is only going to arrive because of what you do right now. You're deciding your future as you sit here listening to these words. I hope you're as excited as I am about this. Stay energized. Anger is excitement. Love is excitement. Envy is excitement. Lust is excitement. Greed is excitement. Take all the cardinal sins and make them your high-octane, spitfire, explosive power to do what you want with your life. The only thing that separates us alpha men from the sheep of the world is our action orientation, and that starts with our internal level of excitement. Harness it and use it for yourself. Anger. Get in touch with your pissed-off side. Anger is so unfashionable in our society today, but it still plays an essential role in the alpha man's personality. It's not cool to have a tantrum or throw things or lash out at others violently, but you better find the things in life that get you a little mad and start using them to your benefit. Anger is nothing more than a form of negative passion, and it's a part of our makeup for our reason. Back in the Stone Age, if you didn't get a little hot under the collar that your woman was getting banged under her loincloth from Grok, another competing grunting caveman, you'd probably pussy out and cry by the fire. You'd lose your shagging rights forever, and then Grok gets to have babies, and your sorry genes don't go anywhere. If you haven't seen it, the movie Hulk by Ang Lee shows how uncontrolled fury can reach unimaginable proportions and unmanageable proportions. Dr. Banner becomes the poster boy for rage. This is a part of all modern men that I fear is lurking around under a calm, civilized exterior that's forced on us by society. Without constructive outlets, our rage can boil over and turn us into dysfunctional tools, just like the Hulk. Alpha exercise. Get out a piece of paper. I hope you've got that notebook ready or your journal, because you're going to need it for all the exercises that we're going to be doing. I want you to take a little time and write down all the things that piss you off in this world. Not the things that just throw you into a blind rage, okay? But all the things that annoy the living shit out of you. Here's a list of some of mine. Idiots who try and get on the elevator before other people get off. Morons who don't use turn signals. How hard is it to flick your left thumb and move that stick behind the steering wheel? Come on. Women who whine about breaking a nail. Get over it, doll face. It'll grow back. If you want to talk about something, let's talk about how those pants make your ass look, Telemarketers. Like, I really need a subscription to 10 magazines and every freaking newspaper in the city. Stop calling me. Those people that leave a message on your answering machine for someone that obviously doesn't live there, didn't they hear the voice on the message that said, Carlos, you pea-brained dork, there's no Percy living here. Those people who cross five lanes of expressway traffic causing havoc and confusion just because they almost missed their exit. Look, take your medicine and take the next exit. Don't make us all pay for your mistake. The asshole that lives next door that decides that since he's been home all day and all night, that 11:34 p.m. is suddenly the best time to start practicing his drums. Good thinking there, Chumley. And here's a random list of things that ought to piss you off if they don't already. Terrorists, flaky women, obscenely loud motorcycles at 3 a.m., women who just won't stop talking. What do you mean you forgot to take the pill? Another damn article about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Look, don't let anyone kid you. You need these things in your life. We need them because they temper us and they test us and they also give us energy. There's a lot of New Age nonsense about letting go of all your anger. You should control your anger, but an alpha man needs a certain amount of anger with him at all times to keep him on his toes, to feel alive. Sure, I purposefully added a little humor in my list, as you should too. I turn those little annoyances into something I can joke with women about at the same time. This is actually a really fun exercise because a lot of this can be turned into great conversation and humor with women. I also use this angry energy to fuel me in those times when I'm worn out or running low. I reach into my back pocket during a workout and I remember those chicks that said, "Let's just be friends," and I get a whole new burst of energy. And I'm also able to turn it into good fun and humor. So there's two sides to it there. Alpha exercise. Get a few of Dennis Miller's rant tapes. Don't just buy the books, because then you'll miss the full force and impact of his stuff. Dennis is a little bit on the edgy side, and you have to have a head full of trivia to catch some of his obscure references. But he has a way with cynicism that almost makes you feel good by the time he's done ranting at you. You'll also learn a whole bunch of stuff that will teach you how his kind of angry humor actually works. Part 1, The Science of Alpha Behavior. Many guys don't realize just how established male wimpiness has become in our culture today. It's an epidemic, and if we don't act soon, we're going to become extinct as a result. Wow, could it be that important? Yes, if you look at the impact of sexual dynamics between men and women and how we're drawn together from certain behaviors. Men are needed for the qualities that make them men and masculine, and that's what attracts women. Maybe we don't have to marry a woman right out of high school anymore just to save her from a job as a secretary, like it was back in the 40s and the 50s, but we do have to provide for them in other ways. And if men and women can't figure out this game of how to play our gender roles correctly, we're going to be more lost than ever. There's a scientific reason for how we behave as both animals and sentient, thinking and reasoning beings. I'm going to explain this in some detail so that you fully understand the concepts. If you don't wholeheartedly believe that this kind of evolutionary behavior is going on, well, you're not going to fully, as well as emotionally, understand the necessity for you to take on these alpha man behavioral traits. Alpha. This book is all about the alpha man. What is an alpha man? Well, the scientific term alpha male is used largely in animal research, where the more dominant and aggressive males in any species were the ones that had the most influence on the evolution of that species. They were the ones that got to reproduce and get their traits and genes passed into the next generation. The term alpha male refers to the male at the top of the social pecking order of the pack or the group. Typically, the alpha male is the physically strongest male in the group, though not always. He's typically the most clever, which does not necessarily mean intelligent, as we're going to explore here. The alpha male invariably has the strongest selection among the females. He has the ultimate advantage from an evolutionary perspective. This advantage turns into the reality of getting his genetic traits promoted forward into the next generation of the species. The alpha male ignites an instinctive attraction for most females who see him as the potential for a valuable mate. However, though appealing in his own way, the beta male is always second. He's a safe, civilized shadow of the alpha, a follower versus a leader. He's a man that the woman might take home, but he's not her first choice. The attractiveness of alpha types is a certification of biological quality, kind of like a stamp of approval from Mother Nature, taking into account such factors as bilateral symmetry, which is the extent to which your body exhibits balance in its features. You look like you're not uneven, one ear is higher than the other, and weight muscle distribution as cues that this man is free from harmful genetic problems. In other words, he's going to make good kids. Something that you might find interesting is that the alpha animal in other species is not always the male. In horses, for instance, the oldest mare is the leader. The oldest stallion, the male horse, only owns the herd and maintains rank as well as running off intruders and predators. His physical prowess does not mean he is the leader. More on this in dominance. Remember, the alpha is not based solely on strength. It's your courage and wits that will get you to that state. For the sake of this book, I use the term alpha man to indicate the dominant human alpha male that combines all our inherited masculine traits with our improved alpha thoughts and beliefs. You are an alpha man based on your ability to look, think, and behave like the powerful dominant male, the leader. More alpha definition. Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, most often used as an adjective to describe males and females of a species, in other words, the alpha male, etc., who rank first within a group. In some species, the alpha male is the only one who mates, while in others, the alpha male rarely mates since he's so aggressive that he attacks females or spends too much time defending and winning his resources. Yes, it is possible to be too alpha. On the other hand, sometimes the alpha male hardly fights at all, simply because no one challenges him. One has to be careful to not automatically assume that the alpha male is the one who is fighting all the time, in other words, the most aggressive male. There's also an alpha female who gets her power by many common traits, physical strength and beauty as reflections of genetic stability and positive environment. Social status or the acquisition thereof, intellectual ability, emotional depth, nurturing ability, these are the alpha qualities of the alpha female. Now back to our alpha. He holds a prominent social position within his pack or society as a whole due to a combination of his physical prowess and his competence in coping skills. His large physical capacity for destruction is overlaid by an equal or stronger force for constructiveness, a gentle streak. When in society, force is used only out of need or circumstance. His intellect is considerable, another example of good breeding, in a physical sense. And he's a well-honed weapon. He does not use his mind for fantasy and unproductive dreaming. His words are thought over, weighed, delivered with a controlled force. The civilized alpha man holds self-control in high regard. Emotionally, the alpha man is usually extremely self-disciplined, an animal formed by social rules and nature. His emotions are generally repressed or used only as tools. These emotions, such as tenderness, affection, or love, that are not directly in demand for the primary alpha male goal of dominance, tend to be held back. You'll often hear women complain about that last one, about the fact that guys hold back on some of those more feminine emotional qualities. And it's easy to mistake their complaining for meaning that a man needs to be more emotional and sensitive. It's not necessary to overcompensate. He does have to demonstrate some emotional capacity, but giving a woman emotional sensitivity does not mean that he has to be a woman. And we're going to cover this further in the section on emotional intelligence. Alpha man characteristics. 1. He's short on time. The alpha man has places to go, people to see. He does not have 3 hours for phone calls. He does not have the time to wait on a woman more than 15 minutes when she's late. He does not have more than a minute to wait for her to talk to someone else on call waiting. I hang up on women that leave me dangling on call waiting or hold. If that call is so important, they can call the other person back. When was the last time you really had an emergency phone call? Further, he's self-interested, first and foremost. This is not to be confused with selfish or self-centered. It only means that the alpha man's life and his fun come first. If he doesn't act to ensure his own satisfaction in life, he'll die a miserable martyr. The alpha man creates his own reality. An alpha man realizes that he cannot be dependent on anyone to make his life fun, so he must do it himself. He creates a bubble of happiness, fun, and good spirits around himself so that when he encounters a new person, he's confident that he'll be interesting just by the aura of power he exudes. Uses his wits first and then his brawn. A true alpha knows that today's man doesn't have to fight and hunt for his survival the way our ancestors once did. we now have the luxury of forging a new kind of dominant man that does not need to physically overpower his enemies. He knows that using his smarts and his instincts are most important. Does not need others' approval. The alpha knows that his way of life has been created for himself, and he knows that since he has defined his ethics, his own rules of behavior, and his code of honor, his confidence has already been established. What other people think of him and this is secondary. He does not need anybody else to give him a stamp of approval for the way that he chooses to live his life. He is gentle and empathic. And he knows when to rein in his emotions to serve the greater good. He knows that you don't have to be a hard ass all the time, and those men that throw their weight around are usually the least confident. There's a saying, the empty barrel makes the most noise. Is definite about what he wants. The alpha knows what he wants from life, and he's actively pursuing it. He sets specific goals and plans for their achievement. He knows how to make decisions quickly. Understands the role of risk in life. He is aware that the unhappiest life is the one that ends in regret, of the things not done. He knows and understands the saying, the dreams of youth are the regrets of maturity. He knows that life is a great adventure or nothing. Does not bet more than he can afford to lose. The alpha man doesn't risk more than he can afford to lose, and he understands when caution is required for balance. He understands risk and reward and how to assess them. Forgives himself for his failures. He knows that the only men who do not fail are those that do not try. Failure is a part of life. Hurry up and fail so you can get to success quicker is his motto. Grows every day. The alpha man knows that the only way to stay at the head of the evolutionary pack is to learn and grow to his limits. Those who are not growing are dying. He reads books and literature every single day. He sets attainable goals and focuses his drive and ambition towards their achievement. There's plenty of time to be mellow and relaxed when he's dead. Life is very short, and he's got plenty of work to do here. Knows that women are a secondary goal, never a primary goal. Women and sex are an important part of the evolutionary drive, but they are not a focus for the alpha man's life. Women will be the side benefit of a life that is fully lived and confidently navigated. Controls his passions and his demons. The alpha man knows what his strengths and weaknesses are in life, and he uses them to his betterment and his success. His passions keep him moving forward with a purpose, and he knows the value of balance in these pursuits. He also knows his vulnerabilities, and he cultivates the self-discipline to not let them get the better of him. Has a well-developed sense of humor. The alpha man knows that nothing in life is that serious, and he knows how to laugh at himself as well as the rest of the world. He makes others laugh and feel good about themselves. Recognizes that time is the most valuable asset. Even more than money, time is priceless. As the saying goes, you can't take it with you, and you don't want to wind up at the end of your life having pursued wealth and then have no time to enjoy it in, or nobody to enjoy it with. No one on their deathbed wishes they spent more time at the office. Time is all you have to spend. Never, ever let yourself kill time. That's really killing yourself. Is mature and confident enough to put his ego aside. The alpha knows that his ego is just a figment of his imagination. When he makes it a priority to protect his image, he will inevitably fall prey to the disillusioning effect of pride. Only insecure men need to protect their ego at the expense of learning and growing. Focuses on the long-term vision instead of the short-term gains. Guys have a propensity for tunnel vision when it comes to certain enticements in life, like money and women. He knows when to delay short-term gratification to serve his goals. We'll cover this in more detail in a later section. Famous alpha men. Here are a few examples to give you an idea of what you're looking for in a role model. James Bond. Well, you're probably sick to death of hearing this one, but he really does stand out as the total alpha man. Better yet, you should watch how the actors who portrayed him demonstrate their alphaness. The subtleties of their performance, the way they look at women through the corner of their eye, the body language they use, all of this should give you a clear idea of what it means to act alpha. Now, of course, James Bond is also good-looking, but don't think for a minute that this is the only thing that gets him laid. Most of the women are reluctant and resistant to him initially, thinking that he's a player. It's his confident alpha man behavior that gets him what he wants. Mel Gibson. Say what you want about old Mel, but he's a man's man through and through. He demonstrates his charming humor in the Lethal Weapon movies, his strength and heroic persona in Braveheart, as well as in the movie Maverick. And his strong, silent character in the Road Warrior movies is also a testament to the rugged alpha men. His real-life exploits are also worth noting, taking the initiative, an important alpha trait, to get his movies made. George Washington. The father of our country wasn't always such a great guy, but he finally grew up and got his shit together. He became the consummate hero and alpha man. He led our country's ragtag forces to pound the British into submission, and then he became our first president. And I'm sure he had the balls the size of coconuts. Abraham Lincoln. Just read any biography of him to understand how he came from adversity to great success. He overcame failure after failure after failure and became one of the most renowned figures in American history. His own stand for honesty and character is a lesson for every man. And don't forget, he proves that even the ugliest dude can still get laid. Richard Burton, you gotta love the old opinionated, smoking, drinking, rugged individualist. I saw a photo essay in a magazine showing Richard next to Elizabeth Taylor, and you could just see the attitude on his face. The title under the picture said that he exuded complete, utter manliness. No better phrase for it. And when they split up, Richard was still a man through and through. Watch the movie Where Eagles Dare for a great example of his attitude. Captain Kirk. Oh yeah, there's a lot to be learned from James Tiberius Kirk from the Star Trek movies. And it's not how William Shatner overacts either. I'll cover this in the next section, since you won't believe how much you can learn about picking up women from Star Trek. Alpha tactic. Every time you identify an alpha behavior in someone or a situation, make a note of it somewhere. Write down all the things about that behavior that you think epitomize the traits of an alpha man. Store them away and use them yourself when you need a reference. Take special note of how these behaviors affected others. When you tune your mind into observing the evidence of alpha behaviors in your world, you'll have started your subconscious mind on a quest that will keep you focused on the goal. Also, use this list as a guide to your own development of character. In the end, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how or when, but what we can choose is how we decide to meet that end, so we are remembered forever as men. Gladiator. Star Trek is good for you. I'm going to tell you something that you guys were secretly hoping was true. Star Trek can help you get laid. Now, I know a lot of guys are saying, are you kidding? The last time I mentioned the movie to my date about when Spock died and Khan fought Kirk, she went to the bathroom and never came back. No. Not the battles or the unknown space anomalies or the warp core breaches or whatever. There are three characters in this series that you need to introduce yourself to or reintroduce yourself to. They can teach you a hell of a lot about seduction. For the sake of this article, I'm going to assume that you're familiar with both the old series of Star Trek, the one done in the 60s, as well as the Next Generation that was done in the late 80s and early 90s. If you aren't, go out and rent the DVDs. And if any of you guys say that you haven't heard or seen any of the old Star Trek shows, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, liar. And number two, keep telling women that. The first character you need to emulate is Captain James T. Kirk. Now, why do you think there was such a reputation about him? It wasn't just because he was out there banging every green-skinned alien in the cosmos. Well, he was. It was his take-no-prisoners, take-no-shit attitude. You see, if there was one thing that Kirk was, it was bold and confident. How could he not be? One minute he's facing down a Klingon attack, and the next he's escorting a diplomat to some treaty session or fighting for the human race on some deserted planet with a purple sky and those same stupid rocks. One especially relevant episode that you have to watch, you must watch to fully grasp Kirk's ability to seduce, is the one where he has to escort some bitchy princess across the galaxy to some meeting. I think it's called Elaine of Troyes. Note carefully how Kirk stands up to her and lets her know that her antics are completely unacceptable. When she lashes out in a prima donna fashion, he puts her right back in her place. And in the end, he tames the princess and even scores yet more interstellar nookie. Kirk is always confident, cocky, and he went after the women he wanted. He made no excuses, nor did he give in to women making demands. He boldly went where every man wants to go. Okay, I know that was bad, but I had to put that in there. Women never walked over him. Now, the next character to watch and learn from is Will Riker from Star Trek, The Next Generation. Yeah, sure, Picard was suave and charming, but Riker was more of a bad boy in all the best ways. Watch how Riker's attitude more closely emulates Kirk from the old series. He's a bit too easy to get riled up and angry. You want to maintain emotional control better than he did, but Riker demonstrates it effectively, not afraid to let a woman know when she's displeased him. And he doesn't let them manipulate him by his emotions. Riker also isn't afraid to step in and let a woman know where he stands with her. He'll grab her by the arm, pull her close, tell her that her eyes are like Arcturian moonstones, and then slip her the tongue. He doesn't hesitate to project his sexuality to women, and you shouldn't either. It's how you do it that's most important. The last character I want you to consider is Deanna Troi, the ship's counselor on the same show on The Next Generation. Now, why her? She's a chick, right? Well, on the show, she has a gift. She's empathic, meaning that she can sense a person's emotional state telepathically. She's often pretty heavy-handed with her observations. Captain, I sense your deep dislike for the anal probe you got when you were with the Borg. Tell me more about it. But you get it. You know, she's observant, and she's intuitive with the people she encounters. When you're with a woman, you should tune into her emotional frequency as close to this as you can. Use your empathic ability to read her thoughts and feelings. Sense the emotions underneath what she's saying to you. When she tells you, I'm just not sure if I want to take that position in accounting, you say, Well, I can definitely understand what you mean. I sense that you're a bit hesitant. Is it that the job is challenging, or is there something else? And you say that last part as if you feel there might be something else. You don't actually say what it is, but you imply that you know what it is. Either way, you're going to be right, and you don't have to know a damn thing. Take all the credit, my dear boy. You're so intuitive. One word of caution, however. Don't let yourself start feeling these emotions with her. You need to only observe and comment on them as if you know what she's going through. A woman doesn't need you to feel the same emotions, only to understand the ones that she already has. In most cases, you don't have to be an empath to read people's emotional state. They wear it on their sleeves. They show it to you with everything they do. All you have to do is pay attention to what they say and their body language. Do a little bit of people watching, and you're going to get really good at reading them, too. Oh, there is one character you should watch. This is just to see what not to do with a woman, and that's the engineer on the old Star Trek Next Generation, Geordi LaForge. Geordi is as inept as they come with women, and he's a guy I think we can all relate to. I used to be this way, and I suspect that 95%+ of all guys have been at some point, too. Geordi can't score to save his life. He can run a futuristic warp engine, but he can't figure out the inner workings of a woman. Think of Geordi as your typical high-tech guy. Great with machines, terrible with people. The show even makes a point of highlighting how Geordi's techniques with women are ineffective in a very realistic way. There's a scene where he's on a date with a woman on the holodeck in some super romantic setting, like on the beach under the moon. He's fumbling for words, obviously clueless, and he goes in for an awkward arm around the woman. She then proceeds to tell him that she just wants to be friends. Now, over the course of many episodes, he does learn a little confidence, not much cockiness, but hey, he got a little better. Please remember that, yes, it was just a dorky sci-fi TV show, but it does exemplify some things that guys today would do well to imitate. Maybe then, by the time we get to the 23rd century, men won't be so damn wimpy. Just don't tell your next lady friend that you learned your best moves from Star Trek, or she'll eject your warp core before you can say, make it so. Beta guys. The beta animal is the one that is secondary to the alpha. In many groups of animals, this indicates only the next rank down from the leader. In my terminology, and for the rest of this program, beta refers to any man who is not an alpha man, also known as the beta guy. Why are there only two kinds, alpha men and then everyone else? In my opinion, there is only one place to be, at the top of the heap. Accepting anything less is settling for a life half-lived. Super Bowl winners are remembered, not the division champions, even though the Super Bowl winners only won one more game than them. Wimpy, non-alpha, or beta guy behavior. Can't maintain eye contact. Has slumped, submissive posture. Fidgets nervously. Gives away his power. Looks for attention and approval from others. Dates women that choose him. Lacks goals or direction. Unable to focus his energy on any one task to completion. Afraid of competition. Creates intricate mental illusions to avoid taking action in his life. He rationalizes losing. Afraid to lead. Afraid to fight. Does not develop his strengths or work on self-improvement. Changes to go with the flow, accommodating other people's schedules. People-pleasing, especially women. Diffusing confrontations in non-assertive ways, avoids any conflict. The beta guy is much happier letting someone else direct his life. He's generally capable of living his own life, but he's mostly helpless on his own. Something in his upbringing stole the fire of passion from him and turned him into a quivering jellyfish. Now, I'm not asking you to just jump in everyone's face and start fights or be a generally abusive prick. That's not being an alpha at all. In fact, a true alpha knows the politics of the moment, and he's smart enough to hold back his opinion and avoid conflict when it suits him best. The point is that it is never done from a place of weakness or fear. Self-defense. As I said above, avoiding conflict constructively is an alpha man trait. Contrary to what you might think, the first guy to jump into a fistfight is not always the alpha man. The first rule of self-defense in a physical confrontation is that you try to avoid a fight, if possible. However, when pushed to the next level, you must be prepared to act. So the alpha man will seek to disarm with his wit and his words before anything else, and then he will resort to physical persuasion as a last resort. This is why I preached that all men, or almost men, who aspire to be alpha men, need to train in a self-defense technique or martial art. At the very minimum, you must be able to defend yourself physically, and then you'll be able to protect the people around you. There are a multitude of programs out there to suit any personality or lifestyle, everything from Asian fighting arts to boxing to soft Tai Chi forms. You can learn modern street techniques as well as kickboxing, or just how to handle a good old-fashioned bare-knuckle brawl. I study a system called Shaolin Kempo. This originated in the Shaolin Temple in China and has a mixture of elements that cover hard strikes, rapid circular motion, grappling, and other principles. I've also trained to use weapons such as the sword, the sais, nunchuk, and the bow staff. the benefits of these programs are almost too numerous to list. At the very least, you'll develop stamina, physical fitness, coordination and agility, awareness, balance, power, speed, confidence, humility, and spiritual centering. Don't just go to a library or a Barnes & Noble's bookstore and pick up a Street Fighting for Dummies book and expect to be effective. It takes some dedicated training to learn real techniques and face real confrontations. You should train for at least 6 months to a year or more in at least one discipline. If the first one you find doesn't suit you, look around for another. I encourage you to investigate the programs in your area and see if any of them make sense for you. Self-defense skills are a critical part of the alpha man's life, and the rewards you reap in the knowledge that you're prepared for a situation when you may have to defend your life or the life of a loved one will jack up your self-confidence way through the roof. This kind of training is invaluable and essential for your growth, and after you've sparred with a guy twice your size, you'll see the confrontations are actually kind of fun. It will also have the added benefit of attracting women, since you'll be taking on the archetypal role of warrior. I know that women have been more than just a little turned on when I demonstrate a fighting form for them, as well as train them in their own self-defense. Alpha strategy. Get yourself trained in self-defense. Even if it's just boxing lessons, learn how to throw a punch, learn how to block a punch, learn how to read aggressive male behavior. Get comfortable with the possibility of physical confrontation. Alpha exercise. Martial artists always watch people and assess their threat level, and you should too. Make a game of walking down the street and thinking about how you deal with that old woman if she came at you with her cane. How would you handle that kid who looks like a gang member? What would you do if he took a swing at you? What would you do if he pulled a knife or a gun? Remember, the only time you do nothing is if they're just robbing you. Give an armed robber what he wants if it's just your money, but if it goes further, you'd better be prepared to do something to save your life, or possibly the life of someone you care about. A great martial artist once used an exercise where he would close his eyes and meditate, imagining that he was doing battle with a snow-white tiger. He imagined how he would defeat such a ferocious beast with nothing but his hands and his wits. He'd lose many times, but after a while he found a way to win. And you're not doing this exercise correctly if you don't lose more than you win at the first time you try it. Imagine your own fierce opponent. Maybe it's a monster or a tiger or even your father. Imagine every detail of the arena where you finally confront your opponent, ready to do battle. Let yourself feel the fear you would in real life and turn that energy into the force you need to overcome your enemy. Imagine the injuries you sustain from the bites and the punches and the kicks and focusing that excruciating pain into your attacks. You see everything while seeing nothing, controlling your temper and fighting from the calm center of your confidence. And when you're done, walking up to a beautiful woman will seem tame by comparison. AMP. A-M-P. I'm going to highlight a pattern of behavior in this book that I call AMP. This stands for Alpha Man Power. Sometimes I also call it alpha masculinity. You're going to tap into this boundless reserve of energy when you need to bring out the best parts of your personality to your benefit. You see, you're already capable of being a man women would want, right? We both know that. The problem is that when you get into a situation and that tongue gets tied or your mind freezes up and you can't seem to find the right words to say, Is that the real you? No, that's just a condition created by the nervousness you feel. When you find your AMPs, your alpha man power, you'll do better. And the more times you do better, you'll be able to shake off the nervousness, and soon it'll be a thing of the past. Use this acronym to help you when you find your confidence is waning or a little low. Chant it to yourself if you have to. AMP it up. AMP it up. It's just like those yells we give to a football team to help them focus and feed from our energy. Defense. Defense. Cheer for yourself to help you overcome slips in your own confidence. Dominance. Dominance is a display of power, one animal over another. Sometimes this power is implied and not displayed, though more likely the status will be challenged constantly, depending on the species. In the human kingdom, your dominance is challenged in just about every day of your life. Dominance actually has very little to do with that strength. Dominance is all about wisdom, guile, and smarts. The cleverest animal is often the one that dominates in the herd, especially in the human herd, where we no longer fight to hunt down our next meal anymore. In a group of turkeys, for instance, signs of dominance are strutting, attacking the lower-order turkeys, as well as being the first to gobble in the morning. Consider that the same need for you to be the first to gobble or talk to the woman you spot in a bar or another social situation. Domination is where you ensure that you are heard, that you get your way when it comes to the things you want from life. When I was looking to move to a new flat in the San Francisco area, I focused on finding the place I wanted. Then I made a bid and aggressively contacted the seller to find out what was going on, without being pushy, of course. I got off the phone after the first call and realized that I didn't make my offer stand out from the others that they'd received, so I called back and I sweetened the deal a little bit, as well as asked what other offers they were looking at. As it turns out, they were about to offer to another couple. I countered their offer and got their hesitations out in the open. They were leery of accepting a dog owner, so I offered a higher deposit to ease their mind. In the end, I got the flat. I was persistent, and I made sure I dominated in the negotiations. If I had let it go at my first call and offer, I wouldn't have gotten that place. Dominance is also a combination of persistence and wisdom. And ultimately, dominance is all about knowing how to outsmart and outwit those who would seek to dominate you. Submission. Submission in the animal kingdom means the act of backing down from those that are more dominant. Confrontations that put animals together inevitably establish a pecking order. See more about this later. By which the more dominant males become more status separated. Being submissive in our terms means being supplicating, obedient, and dependent. Submission in the context of the alpha man in the pecking order means that any man who submits to another is forfeiting their alpha status, except those that do so as a clever trick so that they can retain their alpha status. Submission or appeasement will become clearly explained as we go through these concepts. All apes learn the delicate art of appeasement. There are numerous ways to appease an irate alpha, and all of them are needed. Grooming is a good bet, but the symbolic presenting of your back is almost guaranteed to diffuse alpha anger. What you're saying is, see, I know you're superior and I'm inferior. Really? And 9 times out of 10, it works. Humans have similar appeasement gestures, whether considering a formal 17th century Japanese bow, where every centimeter of bending was duly noted, or a curtsy before a queen, or a salute to a senior officer. We have our own assortment of appeasement gestures. Showing your hands, palm up, or forward is another method of demonstrating appeasement. All of them mean, see, I know you're superior and I'm inferior. Really? Is there really a difference between a submissive chimpanzee bending to show his inferior status and a human bending to show the same thing? Watch the behavior of men you know and watch how often they act to appease rather than to express their own desires and needs. Most men express submission and appeasement to women these days. And this is one area that needs to be corrected. If I hear one more married man say, I gotta go check with the boss, I'm gonna freak out, man. I'm gonna freak out and scream. Appeasement is sometimes necessary, but not as much as you might think. You win more respect by knowing when to take a stand, especially with women. If you haven't done anything wrong, be careful about trying to appease a woman. This is a manipulative tactic that puts you on the defense and will set you up for a bad dynamic. Women do not want men to bow to them or treat them as authority figures. They occasionally enjoy the princess treatment, but that's not appeasement. That's a form of nurturing to them. When you put a woman on a pedestal, she'll never live up to it, and then she'll run from that kind of treatment. The pecking order. The pecking order is defined as a social hierarchy in a flock of domestic birds in which each bird pecks subordinate birds and in turn submits to being pecked by dominant birds. This occurs in all species, even pigs, dogs, horses, humans, but it was named from the studies of bird nests. It was observed that the dominant or stronger of the young chicks would aggressively attack the weak members of the nest by pecking and deprivation of food. Many birds are also shoved out of the nest to their death. In 1922, a scientist showed how even starving hens always allowed their leader, the alpha hen, to eat first and did not dare interfere until it had finished. How, if it was removed, the hens still did not eat, but waited until beta had had its fill, and so on down the line. The pecking order of hens was revealed to be as rigid as in an army, to such an extent that when taken away for a few weeks and then returned to their original flock, each immediately resumed its own rank. The reward was that the flock lived in peace, did not fight over food, and produced more eggs. The price was injustice. Those at the bottom of the hierarchy not only got less to eat, but had fewer offspring, suffered from stress, deteriorated physically, and in moments of danger when food ran out, when the population became too dense, were made scapegoats and mercilessly attacked. The same principles were observed in other creatures. The children of dominant rabbits, wolves, rats tended to become dominant too. Baboons had aristocratic dynasties. Nature seemed to be saying that equality was impossible and that only the strong can hope to be respected. That's from Theodore Zeldin, An Intimate History of Humanity. Some might consider this cruel and reprehensible, but keep in mind that this pecking order is Mother Nature at work. In nature, there is no good or evil, only the circumstances of survival. As humans, we like to think that there's a different standard in place for us, but many of the same behaviors followed us throughout our genetic history and allowed the dominant humans to flourish. There's a human pecking order in every form of organized endeavor. There's a pecking order at work, as well as in your family or at the local singles bar. Think about the concept of seniority. The new person to any job or position is always the one to get the worst tasks. There's a rite of passage, otherwise known as paying your dues, in any field. This ensures that there's an appreciation for those that have gone before you. The word sensei in martial arts literally means one who has gone before or one who is born before. No one likes the guy that assumes he's entitled to special or preferential treatment, especially by those that have already been there for a while. If you've ever experienced this resentment firsthand, you know what I mean. Think of the terms brown noser or teacher's pet. They're given to someone who has been given special treatment or who expects favors without demonstrating his ability. When you were a kid, I guarantee you that you had a pecking order in the group of people that you hung out with. One kid was a leader, the alpha kid, and the others respected his abilities in some way. Usually it was the ability to kick the shit out of you. So every so often, someone would challenge his authority and possibly even beat him up. After that, the victor was the new alpha. Men's conversational style is built around this. We put each other down to build ourselves up. Our conversations are structured around demonstrating superior knowledge or authority. One thing women rarely grasp is that when you talk to a man, you do not belittle or bruise his ego in any way. The worst sin in a man's conversation is to make him wrong, and in a woman's conversation, the worst sin is not to have heard her out and understood her feelings. A man at the bottom of the pecking order is going to have a fragile sense of self-esteem. If you're in a situation where your authority is limited and your power and control of your life is very small, you're going to have a feeling of anger floating just under the surface of your otherwise nice guy demeanor. This will also reflect itself in your ability and your attitude with women. You have to find your power and authority in life and exercise it. Alpha strategy. Always work to increase your level in the pecking order. The men at the bottom are the subjugated whip dogs of the world, and their attitudes tend to show it. It's tough for a guy to be laid back and cool when the rest of his life is being managed by others, and he never exerts his dominance and control. Strive to achieve a position of power in your life so that you feel like the force acting rather than the one being acted upon. Alpha exercise. Make a list of the people in your life and place yourself in that pecking order. Make sure to include people you haven't even met, like the President of the United States, Billy Bob Thornton, or even Metallica. Make sure you include your boss, your mom, your dad, other people in your family, and your circle of friends. Rank yourself in terms of their status in the pecking order and make a note of why you put them above or below you in status. When I did this exercise, I noted that the people I ranked above me were only there because of the granting of some kind of official authority. I personally don't believe that there are many men that would actually be a better man than me unless they have a higher quality of character and a more noble ability to lead. Alpha exercise. Make a list of the places in your life that you feel subservient or submissive, places like your work, the crowd of friends you have, or even with your family. Make a list of people by name and how they treat you that make you feel this way. Be as specific as possible with the situations and start with the ones that are most frequent. Next, note how you last handled that situation. Then write out a plan for how you would handle that if you were the one in charge, or a way that you can handle it the next time so that you win in the pecking order. Obviously, certain interactions, like with your boss, are going to have to be handled more diplomatically. You can't just beat your supervisor over the head with a baseball bat when they give you a crappy assignment. We're not Al Capone here, right? But you can find ways of using your wits so that you either get it reassigned or you complete the task in such a way that it sets you up for a better assignment in the future. If you've done that in the past, then it's probably time you spoke up and told him or her that you've paid your dues and it's time you got a better assignment. Sometimes it might even mean quitting the job you have so that you can start somewhere fresh and get rid of the baggage of the pecking order. But that's usually the last resort. Remember, there's always a way to get what you want from a situation if you work at it hard enough and smart enough. The alpha man finds a way to climb up the pecking order. Congruency. You may have discovered something that happens when you start understanding the truth about women. You start hearing conflicting advice. I should smile, but don't smile all the time. Act friendly, but act a little bit aloof. I should tease her, but not be too mean. Now, this can be a bit confusing given the apparent contradictions, right? Well, let me clear this up for you right now. The best place to approach women is from wherever works best, or doing whatever works best. But be sure it's really working the way you think it is. You see, a lot of guys will try different methods thinking that they're getting a certain result, but they're really not. They're just fooling themselves. For instance, a lot of guys will try the cocky and funny or my tease to please approach and not quite get the feel of it the first couple of times. Then they get a weird or bad result, maybe because they didn't know how to diagnose the problems they were having, and then they assume it simply just doesn't work. Oh, that doesn't work. The problem usually isn't in the use of the strategy, but in how congruent the man's behavior is. Congruence means how well a man's actions match what he really appears to be thinking and feeling on the inside. If I were to walk up to a woman and start a conversation with her, telling her about my brave exploits and how great I was in bed, and the whole time my hands are shaking and I can't even make eye contact for more than a second or two, what does that tell her? She smells wimp all over me, like I just rolled in it. If I try to tell a funny story but I don't act like I think I'm funny, or my voice shakes and I break into a sweat, is she going to laugh? Probably not, because again, I'm not appearing as if I believe in what I'm doing or saying. I lack congruence. You see this a lot when a comedian can't keep it together. He starts to lose his control on the audience, and you can see his confidence start to shake and fall apart. And the audience stops laughing, and it all slides downward from there. She probably won't even think this directly. She's not going to think, he's not being congruent. I don't think this would work out. No, she's just going to get a funny little signal in the back of her brain that says, uh-oh, danger, danger. And that signal will block any attraction she might start to have for you. This signal is also part of feminine intuition, by the way. Guys have it too. It's just that we don't really listen to our intuition or develop it as much. You see, a girl starts working on her wimp intuition from the first time she starts talking with boys. From then on, she learns to trust that sense because the guys that don't act congruently with her words are immediately spotted as not right, and she knows that they don't turn her on. The first insecure moment that comes along and these guys are seeking approval and turning into grade-A wussies at the drop of a hat. The secret is this. It doesn't matter what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. Everything works if you do it a certain way. You can smile and compliment a woman, and that will work if you do it in a congruent, effective alpha way. You can act like a nice guy if you want, but you have to do it in a very certain way. The problem with most guys is that if you do these methods, almost no one except a very good-looking guy can actually pull it off. The whole nice guy thing and the whole over-complimenting thing. They just don't know the way that it works. And I don't know about you, but I'm no Pierce Brosnan or Hugh Jackman, okay? It's all in how you behave. That's why I'm giving you the techniques and the proper understanding of your attitude and posture so that you can act congruent with a woman, like an alpha man does. The easiest method to attract a woman is to start from a position of confidence. That way you don't have to worry about whether to smile or not, or to lean in or not, or all the little nitpicky details. You'll just do what feels right in that situation, without acting from desperation or afraid that she'll reject you. I tell guys to lean off the smiling because most of them either do it way too much or not at all. A few smiles are fine if you do it right. How do you do it right? Don't lean in and smile as if you're a vampire looking at his last meal. Don't smile at her as if you're looking at the last opportunity to fertilize an egg. Don't smile at her as if you're hoping she'll approve of you. Don't smile at her as if you're trying to imagine how squishy her boobies are. Do smile at her as if you're genuinely interested and maybe even a little amused by her. Do smile at her as if you think you might approve of her. Might. And you know what? Don't even think about this too much. It's easy to obsess if you're trying to do everything just right, as if the actions themselves are what will make it work or not work. Well, they do work, but not if you're thinking and obsessing about them all the time. It kind of drives you crazy, right? The simplest way to look at it is this. If you come across as though you're trying to manipulate her with your actions, they'll probably fail. It's a very simple rule. If you come across as though you're trying to manipulate her with your actions, they will probably fail. But if you act as if you're just coming from your own self-assured behavior, your own place, your own reality, and you don't need her, you will probably succeed. Ultimately, you're just being yourself, whether you think you are or you're not. I'm giving you the tools and an understanding, and you have to fill in the rest with your own personality. The key is that your personality does not include desperate, needy, insecure behavior. And that's what this book is guiding you towards through the goal of becoming an alpha man. Asking for what you want. There's a little known principle in life that if you try it, I guarantee you will get you 100% more than you're getting out of life right now. Ask for discounts. Ask for phone numbers. Ask for a job. Ask for the date. Ask for more money. Ask for favors. Most of the guys out there who are shy or nice simply don't get this. They're far too intimidated by what other people think about them to ask for what they really want. They fear that others will think that they're greedy or imposing or arrogant. The list goes on and on and on. They're afraid of inconveniencing their friends and then being disapproved of. Remember, no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. The only thing standing between you and what you want from life is usually you. Have the guts to ask for what you want. The worst thing that can happen is they'll say no. And guess what? You're just where you were before without whatever it is you asked for. So nothing's really changed. And they can't say no forever to you. You'll be amazed at how many will say yes right away just because you were the one who had the guts to ask. Most people don't. Survivor instinct. I once got into a discussion with a mentor of mine way back in the early days of my career. He asked me, if you were one of those guys trapped up in the mountains with no food and all you could do is resort to cannibalism to stay alive, would you do it? I thought about it for a second. I said, I don't know. I'm not too sure. It was tough to know what a person would do in that situation. Surely I'd wait as long as possible before doing anything drastic like that. He nodded and he just said to me right away, I'd eat. If it came right down to it, I'm a survivor and I'd have to eat. His words didn't impact me that much at the time, but over the years, I've gone back to the underlying assumption of that statement, and it's helped form one of my key beliefs in life. Either you're a survivor or you're not. I know that life is rarely easily distilled into such a simple statement, but this holds a lot of truth, and it's especially important for an alpha man to understand. Alpha men are survivors. We do what it takes to stay alive. Would you eat? After a while, you know when you're with a woman who's a survivor and when you're not. I was dating a younger girl for a while that, while she was undeniably hot and adorable, as well as very innocent, she was not a survivor. The slightest interruption in her sheltered and naive existence, and she crumbled to tears. She once had to pull over and cry because a woman bitched her out on the road. Okay? I knew deep inside she would never be a survivor, and therefore she could never be a long-term mate for me. I knew this both intellectually and instinctively, and I also knew it had to end. I've got a few acquaintances that may or may not be survivors, but the people that I gravitate to in life as long-term friendships are always survivors. They've had their own challenges in life to bear up under, and they keep smiling and living on no matter what. Alpha men are survivors. Navy SEALs. There are a lot of books out there on Navy SEALs and their exploits. I encourage you to read these books, not because of the glorification of war or their killing skills, but the sheer intensity of what they go through to become this elite fighting force. You might have seen the movie G.I. Jane, where Demi Moore goes through the same training to prove herself as an equal to men in the Navy SEALs. Their training illustrates the survivor instinct, as well as the survival of the fittest. They didn't want just anybody in this force. They wanted the best. Even more, they wanted the top 10% of the best. There's a scene where they all get back from training, and they're dog tired. They're given 5 minutes to eat, and then they throw out what they can't finish in the garbage. Then they go back to train some more, under more grueling conditions. Now they're almost dead tired, and when they get back to eat again, the cooks are standing there opening the garbage cans for their next meal. The soldiers who were survivors shrugged and reached right in, eating the scraps and half-chewed bits from the previous meal. Others hesitated and let their social conditioning get in the way. Navy SEALs training is based on the belief that every person is capable of withstanding 10 times the amount of physical punishment that they think they can. They can also do 10 times as much as they think they can. I believe you can do 10 times better in your own self-development as well. The only thing is, no one is there to bark orders in your ear, so you'll have to do the real hard work of motivating yourself, soldier. In the movie, there was a bell on the training grounds. If you wanted to give up, you walked over and rang it, and you were out of the Navy SEALs program. That was the quitting bell. There is no bell for this kind of alpha man training, and you can never believe there is one that you can ring. Failure is simply not your option. Alpha exercise. Make a list of the worst situations you can possibly imagine in your life. Then imagine how you would handle them in the event of them actually coming true. Start with some simple situations, like a confrontation with some thugs. Then imagine what you'd do if you were stuck in the wilderness. Remember that guy a few years that took a fall in the middle of nowhere and he had his arm pinned under the rock? They made a movie about this recently. He cut off his own crushed arm with a dull pocket knife, tied off the stump with his belt, and then hiked miles to get back to civilization. Now that's a survivor. Also, imagine how you would take command of a group in a situation where you were looked to provide leadership. How would you manage conflict? How would you demonstrate your leadership abilities? This exercise isn't about making you a negative thinker or paranoid that all the worst things in the world are going to happen to you, but it gives you a sense of confidence to know that no matter what the situation is that comes up, you can handle it, and that you will not only survive, but thrive. Alpha exercise. Get a few books on survival. You may or may not think that your life is very threatened each day in this modern world, but if the power were to go out for a prolonged period of time, or there was civil unrest where you are in the country or the world, you would change your mind very, very quickly. Learn basic first aid skills. Learn simple survival abilities. Do you know that you can live for weeks without food, but only a few days without fresh water? What would you do to get water if you're cut off from civilization? Again, this isn't about becoming one of those crazy people that buys a generator and cuts himself off from society. It's about preparedness. I have a supply of food and water on hand in the event of an earthquake, which is a very real possibility here in California. When I tell people that I have this stuff, they usually joke about it, but they also say that they think it's smart. It's also proactive. I already know what it is. Survival. Alpha exercise. Create a bug-out pack and an evacuation plan. A bug-out pack is a bag or a backpack with all the necessities for survival, like a compass, some food, matches, clean socks, a knife, a flashlight, a first aid kit, some fresh water, etc. In the event of emergency, you need a plan for survival and escaping. Get a map of the area you live in as well. If you had to leave town because of a natural disaster, could you do it quickly? Do you know the lay of the land and the terrain? You'd be amazed at how few men have even just a simple flashlight on hand for when the power goes out. They'd stumble in the dark looking for matches and a candle. Planning now lets you rest easy later on. Alpha exercise, surviving women. What is your recovery plan when you've had a bad dating experience? If she dumps you, what's your plan for recuperation and rejuvenation? What? You don't have one? You need to. My personal plan has always been this. Watch several movies rather than going out too soon after the breakup and then getting a bad attitude because I was too needy. And I only watch positive, manly movies, preferably with a beer in one hand and some chips in the other. Go out and shop for guy stuff like electronics, comics, and good heavy music. Get some new clothes. This always eased the transition back to reality that there were new things to be had in life. Call up some friends and go to dinner or an event with them. Sometimes it was good to have a female friend to just talk recovery talk with, but mostly you should rely on your male friends and support system. If I had a fuck buddy or a friend with benefits, I'd give her a call and see if we could hook up. The point is to have a solid plan for regaining your sense of self and your self-confidence. If you use the plan regularly, even when you're with a woman, you'll keep that sense of independence. Overall, this ability to think ahead and plan for events in a healthy way translates into better thinking with women. When you have survival focus in your life, you come from a more resourceful place. As a student and teacher of the martial arts, I've read many books on the thought behind military and fighting arts. The martial philosophy is almost as interesting as learning the techniques in many cases. In Japanese samurai culture, Bushido was their warrior philosophy, their way of life. You may have become familiar with this concept from the movie The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. The Japanese samurai general he befriends tries to explain Bushido to Tom in a very indirect way, using the blossoms on the trees as a metaphor. Well, Bushido was a code of honor among these men, and it was a way of life. They understood that their duty was their service, and that they were prepared to give everything, including their lives, for that honor. I personally follow much of this code as part of my lifestyle and part of my martial arts training. I've always believed in my own duty to a calling that was more than just my own personal desires or my selfish wants. I don't try to over-glamorize this warrior mindset as anything beyond what it is. It's a personal philosophy that has become an important part of my life. Every alpha man has a sense of this Bushido code in his life. Here are some of the core virtues of Bushido. Fidelity. Fidelity towards master, lord, and fatherland. Respect towards parents, brothers, and sisters. Assiduousness. Steadiness. Politeness. Respect and love. Modesty and correct etiquette. Formality. Virility. Valor, courage, and bravery. Hardness and coolness. Never lose self-control. Patience and endurance. Promptness. Always be prepared to fight. Truthfulness, veracity, sincerity and straightforwardness, sense of honor and justice, simplicity and purity. Of course, there are many more than these virtues in the idealism of Bushido, but you get the picture. The essence is to seek out the good and honorable traits and to make these part of your character. No, you don't have to commit seppuku, ritual suicide, for your mistakes, but do consider what you hold so important that you wouldn't allow anybody to dishonor it. Your family? Your friendships? Your name? Men today are not raised with a sense of their character, or to even understand the need for it. To many, it may seem that it's an old code from some long obsolete warrior caste, and it's simply dated and unnecessary. The ancient Bushido code was brutal and perhaps too quick to sacrifice the life of the warrior. But there are noble beliefs here that can be lifted to apply to today. The world would be a far better place if we all had a code that we could believe in, and then we could stop running around trying to get as much as we can just to make ourselves feel better about how unfair the world is. Alpha exercise. Take the time to write down your code of honor. Do you have any principles that you believe in? Do you practice them every day? Do you work to improve yourself according to these ideals? Make a list of things you value most in life. There are plenty of books on virtues and developing character out there, and all you have to do is look through a few and decide on the person you want to be. Most guys do not realize that if they were simply to commit themselves to a code of honor and behavior, they would be 10 times more attractive to women just for this one thing. A man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Summary traits of the alpha man. Displays dominance. Mates with many females rather than one. Leads others. Controls his emotions. Is not afraid to get angry when it's necessary. Would rather be outspoken and wrong than meek and right. Asks for what he wants. Demonstrates prosperity and provider capacity. Protective. Goal-oriented. He doesn't ask, he tells. Never apologizes for who he is or what he does. Doesn't care about what other people think and does not let their opinions steer his life. Seeks power, but in healthy ways that furthers his goals. Get back on top of the food chain. Nothing is neutral. Give up on the concept of neutrality in anything in life. There's nothing that is truly in between positive and negative, or that does not have a charge in one direction or another. Even a car that is in neutral is pre-engineered to go forward with several gears ready to engage and the motor spinning to transfer the power. Reverse is just an afterthought, a temporary redirection of forward energy. There is good and bad, but no neutral. Everything you do has an effect on the world around you. Even the choice to do nothing is still a choice, and it will impact your environment and your life. You must be willing to take the controls of your life and steer in one way or the other. It's like a car that's under your control. Even if the alignment is perfect, you cannot stay straight when the road curves out from under you. An alpha man reaches out and takes what he wants. If he wants a kiss, he goes for a kiss. And if she pushes him off, he can apologize. Or not. But he never seeks approval for his actions or forgiveness if they turn out to be wrong. Part 2. How to compensate for your shortfalls. Hey, we all have faults and weaknesses. No man is perfect, no matter what you may think. What you see on the outside is only a momentary reflection of who that person is and what their problems are. It's only narcissism that makes us think that our problems and our life issues are any worse than any other people's. Everything seems more important to us than to others, because we're locked into our point of view. We also have unique strengths, and it's our jobs as alpha men to use them to our advantage. There is no man who is so underprivileged that he doesn't have a few alpha strengths. And if you think you don't have any strengths, your primary weakness is probably just low self-esteem. In this section, I will cover some of the classic areas in which men typically judge themselves, especially in the eyes of women. These are all what I call the classic excuses that men will use to justify their sense of low self-confidence. I can't attract women because is the way the sentence starts. What most of these guys don't realize is that every man is flawed. Your flaws are unimportant. How you overcome them and succeed in spite of them is. For every one of these you think is a limitation, I can show you 10 guys who are doing well in spite of it. What, you think you're special? Your age. I hear a lot of guys complain because they're X years old or Y years young, and that because of their age, they cannot get laid. Your age is a convenient crutch to hang your troubles on, but it doesn't hold up under scrutiny. Younger men are only unattractive when their attitudes give away their maturity. Younger guys have a sexual endurance and exuberance. You have positive attitudes and energy. Usually older age implies some maturity and confidence. And if you're a little older, I hope you've gotten to the point in life where you're at least starting to enjoy the fruits of your age. By your later years, you should have been investing and planning a little for the later part of your life. You've also got more understanding of life, wisdom, which women want from us. Not to mention you have sexual patience, which is a big turn-on for the ladies. They know you're not going to be a one-pop deal. When you talk about age with women, you should first point out those benefits of your age without telling her your exact birth year. And the conversation should always be structured in a way that makes it clear that her age is actually the issue. After all, you're a picky man and you don't want to waste your time with inexperienced little 22-year-old girls with no bedroom skills. And frankly, some of these girls give head like they're not sure if your pecker's going to bite them back. Look, I want a woman who knows how to perform. How old are you, honey? Really? Don't you have to get home soon? I mean, it's awfully late and I don't want you to get grounded. Let me guess. You're 19. Oh, wait. I bet you're 19 and a half, huh? Well, let me see your license. Make her age the issue. Besides, are you aware of how many women are out there who love older men? Some are just looking for that daddy they never had, but others are looking to get some of that experience you've been accumulating along the path of life. And yes, hopefully some of it's in bed, right? The best way to get around the question of age is to focus on your birthday, not the year. Talk about your astrological sign and get her to talk about hers. You take the focus off your age and put it on something she loves to talk about, destiny and fate. You don't really care how old I am. You just want to know if I'm a Taurus, don't you? As a last ditch, you can say this if she's suspicious about your age. I'm not worried I'm too old for you. I'm just not sure you're ready for a man of my experience. And if you're looking obviously older than your years, you should take a few minor steps to improve your situation cosmetically. And I'm not talking about plastic surgery either. If you're gray, get a little hair coloring. Get it darkened. If you're getting a few wrinkles, use some skin cream or go get some Botox if you need to. Get a wardrobe workover to make you look a little younger. Get a more flattering hairstyle and ditch those old fart glasses. There are lots of small improvements you can make to look younger in your image. And believe me, it's the least of your concerns. It's always your attitude. Your hair. As I stated before, if you're going a bit gray, there's nothing wrong with coloring your hair. Just about every woman you meet has colored her hair in some way, and I bet it's for the gray that's coming in. As for balding, well, there you're going to have to be a little more creative. As many men realize, your hair is a limited duration asset. It will eventually start to show up more on the bottom of your shower drain than on the top of your scalp. So you have to be able to make the best of it while you've got it. First rule of balding, comb-overs don't look good. You can part your hair in clever ways for the first couple of years, but eventually you're not going to be fooling her or anybody else. Take a look at Donald Trump. Ew. Second rule of balding, when it goes, let it go. If you're just thinning all over with no patches of baldness, then just cut your hair down to a very trim level. If you've got that monk's patch on the back of your head, then shave it all down to the very thinnest level. Third rule of balding, toupees and wigs never work. Ever. Don't even bother. A woman can tell you're wearing a rug a mile away, and she'll see it as insecurity, not vanity. Women laugh their asses off at guys who think that they can't tell it's fake. In the end, just get a style that flatters your situation. For a lot of guys these days, shaving it all off is actually an option. A lot of guys go for the Captain Picard look that Patrick Stewart managed to turn into a sexy statement. And if your hair is something that you're not willing to let go, then consider using the medicinal supplements that you can get both on the shelf and over the counter. They can help. As a last resort, you can even consider surgery, hair plugs, and other techniques to replace it. Whatever you do, choose to accept the situation, even if it's not the one you would choose to have. By fighting the inevitable, you take a harder toll on your self-confidence by perpetuating a false sense of self. Your hairline is not you. You're money. Money is power. Money also symbolizes the ability to provide to a woman. There are a lot of gold diggers out there, and they're not the women you want. So when I hear a lot of guys complaining that hot women only want guys with money, I slap them twice and then remind them that even if this was true, would they want these women? No, you don't. And you can still have the hot women without having a lot of money. How? Well, you demonstrate what money represents to women. Confidence, success, the ability to provide, ambition, all of which you can show without being rich and having to drive a Ferrari. First of all, as I detail later in this program, learn about money. Learn all about how it works, and you'll find yourself well on the way to making more of it yourself. Only careless men learn about money without increasing their wealth along the way. Avoid debt and invest. That's more advice than most men ever get or use. Second, cultivate the powerful presence of a man who has money. You'll notice many attitudes of the man who has money are just that, attitudes. I know of a clothing designer who has a gold digger wife, and his business is failing. Everyone knows that when his money goes, so will she. The only bankrupt man is one without the character to earn it all back again. Third, learn how to make what you've got work for you. Learn how to be frugal, not cheap. You can make a little money go a long way if you choose well. Buy higher quality through outlet stores and sales. Style can cover up where you may lack financially. You can get a lot of older, classy cars for very little these days. You can do a lot with a little if you just use your head. Your car. You don't need to drive the latest BMW or Mercedes to attract women. Most guys think of their car under the same heading as having a lot of money. No nice car means no hot woman. Again, not true, dude. If you're absolutely determined to have a prestigious car, then look into the certification programs for used vehicles at many of the dealerships. You can get a previously owned luxury car for much less than the price of a new one. God, I sound like a commercial, don't I? If you take some time to do your research, you can get a great vehicle for less than half its original price by looking up the models that you're interested in and doing some research on the internet. Note, most cars lose half their value in the first 3 years of depreciation. Donna, a friend of mine, used to call my friend Kevin's Mustang a $40,000 penis extension. She wasn't far off the mark. Women are smart enough these days to understand that men often use physical objects as validations of their masculinity. So get your dick out of your gas tank. Stop showing your masculinity through penis extensions by way of possessions. The most effective way to demonstrate alpha man behavior is through your actions and attitude. Once you have this down, you can eventually get these other additions and add to your game, but it doesn't work the other way around. And speaking of penis extensions, forget about the size of your dick. I know it's tempting. You get 100 emails a day telling you your cock is too small, that you can add 3 inches to your manhood with a magical herb from Outer Mongolia. First of all, it's complete bullshit. If it was legitimate, why do they have to spam you? Wouldn't every man be spreading the word of this miraculous drug? Don't be a gullible dork. Skepticism is actually a very alpha trait. You don't need any of the potions that you see every day online. They just don't work. Second, it's totally unnecessary. Unless you have a medical condition where your penis is less than 4 or 5 inches erect, you really don't need to be concerned about anything. Less than 2% of the male population has a dick that's 9 or more inches in length, and around 83% of men have one that's smaller than 7 inches. The average is actually between 5 and 6 inches in length and around 4 to 5 inches in girth. And the source there is Kinsey Institute. And even if you did have a bigger cock, what would you do with it? Beat off more? No, that doesn't give you game with women. And they won't date you just because you have a thicker member. See how far bragging about your trouser snake actually gets you. Somehow men have been brainwashed into thinking that their dicks are equivalent to their manhood. This is one that's been perpetuated throughout history. Maybe it's too much joking in the locker room or watching porno flicks with unrealistic cocks being poked everywhere. The reality is that most of the guys with the biggest peckers are the biggest peckers. And as any woman will tell you, there is such thing as too big. Women don't buy dildos and vibrators the size of a horse's cock. Go look at what they actually buy. They get them in the average size of the average guy. Those huge ones are nothing more than novelty items that just gather dust on the shelves of sex stores. I won't belabor you with those goofy sayings like, it's not the size of the wand, it's the way the magician uses it. But it really is true. What you should work on are more advanced foreplay techniques. Hand techniques, physical manipulation of her body is what you need to work on. Use the stop and start methods, as well as other ones detailed later on in this program. Forget about your dick. There's a reason they call it a tool, and that's because it still requires an experienced handyman to wield it effectively. Giving her pleasure is about 90% of your game with the ladies. Learn how to fuck the right way and with the right focus, and your manhood will be more about how many women you have, not about what kind of freakish sideshow pecker that you've got stashed away in your pants. Women do and do not care about the size of your penis. They do care if that's all they're after, but most of the time, size only matters when there's nothing else to entertain them. Your intelligence. An alpha man is smart, but that doesn't mean you have to have a PhD in neurosurgery. Life is an education, and you should seize every opportunity you have to learn. You can learn a hell of a lot from the educational television stations if you pay attention. Watch the History Channel, and you'll have a dozen great topics of conversation when you want to tickle her brain. Most of the ways you can improve your intellect are absolutely free. The source? Your local public library. I know we've forgotten about these in the age of the internet, but they still exist. Make it a new hobby to get to the library once a month to pick up a few books, and not just fiction either. They have books on tape, reference books, movies, magazines, and every form of reading material you could ever desire. They even provide internet access for the underprivileged. Take advantage of this fantastic resource at your disposal. Oh, and speaking of the internet, there are so many web pages out there for every subject imaginable, and most of them are free. Chances are you came across my site purely by using the internet. Use this to your advantage. I used to always pay close attention to the interests a woman listed when I was doing a lot of online dating. I'd look up something they mentioned in their profiles that I didn't recognize, like some obscure author or a musician. Then I could always throw out some information later that would build rapport with her when we met. They'd be amazed I knew what they were talking about. Suddenly, we were more alike, more connection. Learning is a way of life for the alpha man because he knows that in this modern age, he will not likely have to fight a man hand-to-hand as much as mind-to-mind. A mind is not a vessel to be filled, but a fire to be lit. Alpha strategy. Make it a habit to learn at least one new thing each day. Set an educational goal to work on your education. Maybe you don't need or want to get a college degree, but there are many certifications that allow you to increase your credibility in almost every field out there, and will put you on a path of higher learning in the process. In fact, the highest paid people in any field get training specific to that field, not degrees. Take a weekend class or self-improvement seminar. You'll be amazed at how many women attend these, by the way. You'll find many new prospects as you develop yourself. Your looks. If there's one thing most men are hung up on, it's that they believe their looks are what gets them laid. And this is absolutely not true. Now, of course, if there's something really, really drastic about your appearance, it's going to make a difference. But really, looks do not matter to women the way guys think they do. We think they do because looks matter to us, so we assume that looks must matter to them. And that's the big fallacy of our genetic and our gender understanding. We don't see what the other side is truly seeing. While women will be more quickly interested in a good-looking guy, this does not mean that they're going to sleep with him. There is the first kind of looks, which is your physical attractiveness. Does this matter? Sure it does. No one's going to argue that good looks won't help you in life. That's a fact. However, your looks are only going to get your foot in the door with women. Fact. Have you ever seen food that looked good but tasted like shit? Think about it. Look at previous romances. Look at like Kid Rock and Pamela Anderson. Look at Billy Bob Thornton and, yes, Angelina Jolie. He was actually with her. Look at Diana Krall and Elvis Costello. Look at about any couple you know that makes you go, huh? And you'll know what I'm talking about. The second kind of looks is your appearance. How neat do you dress? Do you have nice shoes? A good haircut? Did you trim those daddy long legs hairs that were sprouting out of your nose and ears? You can improve your appearance immediately with a few well-planned trips to the mall with a friend that knows good clothes. The third kind of looks is the aura of confidence that you project. This is the most important kind of looks you have. You'll get laid more often with a good attitude and a decent appearance than you will with physical attractiveness alone. re-listen to that until it sinks in. I suspect most of you already know this, but it's easier for some to keep frowning and sulking, kicking the ground and whining about how all the good-looking women go for all the hot guys. Gosh, it's just not fair. Wah, wah, wah. Their good looks help, but it's their alpha man behavior that projects this. What these guys got was just a little cocky and confident about their ability with women because their good looks gave them a head start. And then this experience was reinforced over time. That experience increased their confidence, and so on and so forth up the spiral. I'll say it again, you'll get laid more often with your attitude and posture than you will with physical attractiveness alone. If you have good looks, great, but you still need more. I counsel guys every day who are great-looking guys, they still can't get a chick to save their lives. If you don't have good looks, great. You can overcome this with the right attitude. Newsflash. If you think your looks are holding you back, then guess what? They are going to hold you back, subconsciously and consciously. On the other hand, if you act as though your looks are not an issue, they won't be. Your attitude will jump up a couple of notches, she's going to sense it, and you'll start getting laid. Then you'll get your proof that looks are just a visitor's pass. Even the best-looking guys get dropped fast when they act like wimps. Henry Ford once said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right." And I happen to think he's dead right with that. Oh, and one more thing to contemplate. What if it were true that women went for better-looking guys? Ask yourself this. What if it was true? There are two kinds of guys out there. Number one, the kind that would accept this belief and then piss and moan about it for the rest of their lives, using it as their sole excuse in life for not being an alpha man and getting what they want. "I'm not gorgeous, so gorgeous women won't want me. Boo-hoo." Hand him a tissue. Number two kind of guy is the kind that do what they need to do in order to get what they want. They'd find a way around it. If they don't see the circumstances they want, they make them. The number two guys out there understand that this attitude alone is enough to get them successful with almost any woman they want. Lucky for you, it's not that kind of world that women only want good-looking guys. So we've established that just being good-looking does not assure you of success with women. In fact, it will often leave you at a disadvantage, since you may get an early success or two and not realize what you did or how to repeat it. In fact, most good-looking guys have an immediate roadblock to success. You know what it is? Absolutely. Women immediately think guys like this are players, and they treat them accordingly, and they keep them further away, and they don't trust them as quickly. Let me use a friend of mine who had the same situation here, though. His name was Jack. Jack was a good-looking guy. Women declared him a hottie, and he rarely ever had any problems getting a positive reaction from women when he talked to them. Mind you, this didn't mean that Jack knew what to do with women. Sure, he'd gotten laid quite a bit in the past, but it wasn't because of his skill as much as it was random circumstance, and he had a certain level of assumed competence with women. You see, he didn't have a clue what he was going to do to get laid. He just assumed he was going to get successful and assumed he had some ability, and that led to women feeling comfortable around him and him getting what he wanted. He assumed he didn't need to have any plan or structure to his seductions. Later on, though, when Jack hit a dry spell, he had no idea what methods to practice to get out of his slump. What was it he was doing that made it work? Without a firm grip of the basics, he messed up a lot of dates based on very simple mistakes. He lost his self-confidence, and it took him years to regain it. As I always say, beware easy success. You never learn from it the same way you do when you go through the difficult successes or the failures. You're never forced to analyze what's going on, and as a result, your bad habits stick with you a lot longer. Being good-looking is a double-edged sword. You see, initially it helps you because you have an immediate chemistry with more women. They may have a higher interest and attraction level right off the bat. On the other hand, your looks work against you when women wonder, is he just a player? Does he really want me, or just another notch in his belt or his bedpost? And as you've seen, it's more difficult to understand what behavior is working for you or against you. Just because you've got the looks doesn't mean they're lining up to jump in bed with you based on that alone. You still have to do the rest of the right things in the right amount. The balance of this program, in fact, is devoted to developing the attitude that overrides any looks or lack of that you may have. Your job. Every guy wants a prestigious job. Our thirst for power ensures that men are rarely satisfied as just worker bees. Most of us aspire to be managers, even if we're not sure that we'd even be good at it. We want power. Again, as it is with looks, your job isn't what will get you laid. What you can do, however, is learn how to describe your job in ways that will help get you laid. Until you get that CEO position, of course, that you've been eyeing. First, come up with some funny alternate occupations to tell a woman when she inevitably asks you what you do. I usually say things like, I'm a SEAL trainer, or I'm a nude ass double for old actors. Sometimes I'm an alligator mud wrestler. Or I'm arm candy for women when they just can't get rid of their husbands. Or the paparazzi won't stop bothering them. Next, I have a uniquely descriptive way of presenting what it is that I really do. I used to know this guy that changed the fluorescent light tubes in a local college. You know what he called himself? A lighting installation technician. He changed bulbs, for Christ's sakes. You're a janitor at a high school? Not anymore. Now you're a facilities coordination technician for a local educational facility. You say you're a road worker? No. Now you're a road and highway construction technician. Busboy? Try food service quality technician. Face it, everybody is a technician in some way. And you may find that in the process of re-engineering your job description, that you also re-engineer your attitude towards your job. You'll become more successful when you treat your role as if it is the most important job on the planet. Don't forget that you should also have a statement of your vision for your work that you can communicate to any woman that you meet. You need to have a vision here. When I tell women I'm a martial arts instructor and I'm a relationship advisor for men, I then tell them about my vision of improving the quality of character of men and women everywhere through better relationships and better physical fitness and confidence. I let them know that I've got a spectacular vision for what I'm going to do. Your vision means 10 times more to her than the job you currently have to pay the bills. Share your dream with them. Your physique. An alpha man works on his physical stature as much as possible. If he's obese, he works to change his diet and implements an exercise program. If he's on the scrawny side, he works to add muscle mass by changing his diet and adding some weight training to his exercise regimen. Keep in mind also that smaller, thinner guys, of which I am one, have it easier than other large guys in most respects. We can sneak in under the defensive radar easier with women because they don't have as much physical intimidation from us. We're less of a physical threat. By the time a woman notices that she's fallen for you completely, the size issue will have disappeared. Plus, thinner guys who have a wiry build also add muscle in more attractive ways, and it also stands out much quicker than large guys looking to lose weight. I won't go into details here because it's too much to cover on exercise, and there's hundreds and hundreds of, if not thousands, of books and programs out there to lose weight and get fit. But if you are one of the millions of people who do have a weight problem, you need to focus on your diet and exercise immediately. You'll not only feel better about yourself when you're in good shape, but you'll also increase your lifespan so that you can experience more of what this fantastic world has to offer, and the women in it, of course. Alpha strategy. Find a fitness facility near you as soon as possible. Check into their memberships and be willing to haggle for a lower rate. You can get a really cheap membership when you join for several years. Then make a commitment to get yourself in shape. If not for you, then do it for your sex life. Women aren't as appearance conscious as men are, but they can still be pretty critical when it comes to weight and fitness. So look good and find a partner that'll help keep you in it. Your self-confidence. An alpha man also works on his self-confidence. It's a lifetime project. Now, if you're disappointed by that thought, thinking that you'd just be able to achieve this great, super self-confident state and never have to do anything more for the rest of your life on it, well, you're partly right. Once you get to a certain comfort level with yourself, you inevitably can keep that level going for quite a while. But if you stop reinforcing this new sense of value you've acquired, you can slide backwards. It's just like a batter that's lost his confidence at the plate. You can practically feel his fear of striking out, and each time his foundation shakes, he can't get it out of his head. And that makes it more likely he's going to screw it up the next time. Some people never get this back. I had a slide like this when I was in my mid-20s. I was doing great all the way up until that point. I got laid pretty well, and then I started reading a lot of books on relationships, trying to understand how the game worked. Now that was a bad idea right off the bat, because 90% of the people who write these books don't have a clue and couldn't get laid to save their own lives. As I started to believe their bullshit, I was getting brainwashed by what I wanted to be true rather than what was really true. By the time I went through several failed romances, I was really on a bad losing streak. I went a whole year without dating. It was killing my confidence. I was lucky to make it back, and some guys never do. That is a lot of what this program is about. No matter where your confidence is right now, it can be raised higher. What's that you say? You're at the bottom? A total beta guy? No problem. That's great. That means you can only get better. Self-confidence is something that will vary from day to day and from week to week. If you keep working on the things that matter to you and you keep reinforcing the principles you learn here, you can raise it to new and unbelievable levels. But it does take a little work. Nothing worthwhile in life comes without work. Accept this right now. That's where a lot of the excuses come in, so make sure you pay attention and commit yourself to this path. Well, I'm sure I haven't covered every possible male problem out there, but even if I haven't, I think you get the point, don't you? There is no male weakness that cannot be overcome and turned into an attitude that gets more women. Well, there is one that cannot be overcome, the unwillingness to even try. And that's what it boils down to in the end, when all you've got left are your excuses. When a man says, I can't get women because of, insert convenient excuse here. What he's really saying is this. I've got my convenient excuse, and I'm going to use it like a get-out-of-jail-free card. I've become so attached to my excuse that I won't even try anymore. It's much easier this way. I can use this excuse, and all my friends will nod and go along with me because they've all got their excuses, too, and we're all comfortable with them. This way, I don't have to risk changing. This way, I can stay comfortable. The only man who's genuinely comfortable is one that's 6 feet under in a pine box. Get rid of your excuse. Alpha exercise. Every guy has a hidden reason that he thinks he doesn't do well with women. We all have it, and we use it as our excuse for not doing what we feel we could do with our sex life. Mine used to be this. Women are so confusing. They're not consistent. I'm doing what they say they want, being a nice guy, but they lose interest right away. They're screwed up. Now, my excuse was basically that I wasn't willing to take the time to find out what did work with women and just do it. I couldn't let go of the myth of the nice guy, that a woman would just want me if I became everything she said she wanted, sensitive, caring, etc. Once I let go of the need to keep doing what wasn't working, I found out what did work. I dipped my toes in, I experimented with the tactics that I'm sharing with you, and I saw that they worked. Then I jumped in the pool all the way, and I got successful. Big time. So what's your excuse? Do you think you're too fat, too thin, too old, too poor, too dumb? Whatever reason you can come up with, I can come up with scores of guys who have the same limitation but overcame it. If you find yourself holding on to your limitations as a way to define yourself, you'll be in for a lifetime of failures because of them. If you let go of them, you can give yourself permission to excel. Write down all the reasons you think are holding you back from being successful with women. Then, right after them, come up with at least 3 methods that you can use to overcome that limitation. Then, build a plan to do it. Take emotions out of the equation. Most guys are putting emotions in where they don't belong. If you take the emotions out, you'll start to see that you can actually start to take action rather than sit there and wallow in your own despair and private little hell. Example, I can't be successful with women because I'm short. Overcoming it? Number 1, wear lifts and taller shoes to give me an extra inch or two. There are elevator shoes that give up to 3.5 inches of added height. Number 2, make a list of famous men who are short but still get women. Tom Cruise, Dustin Hoffman, Robin Williams, Earl Boykins, he's an NBA guard, he was only 5'5". And before you say, yeah, but they're famous, remember that they were short before they got famous. Think about it. Number 3, dress in colors and patterns to accentuate my height. Number 4, develop my humor and presentation to sweep women off their feet with my wit, giving them too much to be attracted to rather than just focusing on my height. 5, find the women that are looking for a man my height. There are plenty of women that are shorter than any man, so I'll hunt them down. Okay, I gave you 4 ways there, but I know there's a lot of guys out there with the same concern. I wanted to show you that there is a way to overcome your perceived limitations, no matter what they are. Ready? Now it's your turn to get rid of your excuse. Comfort. Beware that beast called comfort. He'll never hurt you, but he'll also never, ever help you to your goals. We are a world that has become accustomed to comfort and convenience. When we can't have what we want, we become angry little children stomping our feet that it isn't fast enough or easy enough or good enough. In order to achieve what you want in this world, you'll have to accept some inconvenience. The best things in life won't come to you easily or comfortably or conveniently. That's why they're the best things in life. Anything worth doing in this world will not be easy. Accountability. Accountability is a large part of the alpha man's consciousness from day to day because it assigns proper responsibility for his actions while making sure he's aware of who he needs to answer to for those actions. Ultimately, an alpha man is accountable to himself, first and foremost. He knows that he has a personal code to live up to, and he does not compromise it for anyone. Without a sense of accountability, a man will not be motivated to do the right things at the right time. We start out our lives accountable only to our parents, and it is through them that we learned how to behave and what things were important in life. Sometimes they didn't teach us in the best way, but much of our development is a result of their example. As an adult, a man must create his own code of conduct and make this his pattern for life. He understands that even though he is still accountable to certain family members and friends, he ultimately must decide on his own path. If he doesn't achieve a goal, that's his fault. If he doesn't work to grow and improve himself, it's his fault. Without accountability, a man can easily decide that he can do whatever he likes, whenever he likes, as long as it's within the limits of the law and social convention. There are no real repercussions for the things he chooses not to do, like continue his education, improve his character, or seek higher levels of achievement. Without that accountability framework, a man will often slip into bad habits, laziness, and negative thinking. Instead of achieving with his talents, he will squander his gifts and take most of his life for granted. Keep yourself accountable. Who cares what they think? One of the most significant reasons that many people never achieve in their lives is that they are addicted to the approval of others. For many of us, this came as conditioning from our parents. All children want is acceptance and love, and we learned that if we did what mom and dad approved of, we sometimes got that love. Well-meaning parents knew that they could manipulate our behavior through their use of granting approval and love. So what happens to the poor kid? Well, he grows up to think that he's only valuable if he's approved of. If you do good, Jimmy, we'll like you, and that means that you'll be worth something. Otherwise, well, you're just what you want to think you are. The thoughts of other people have no real impact on you if you have a strong enough sense of self. Let me give you an example. Let's say you had a great childhood. You had a lot of friends that you considered great friends. They served as a foundation of your high self-image through school, and you went on to more success in college and in your first career. One night, you get a call from John, the one person you considered your closest friend over the years. John tells you he's been having problems, and his therapist suggested he call you up and tell you his true feelings. John tells you he was never very fond of you. Then he goes into all the things he hated about you and why he acted like your friend just to stay popular with other people. In fact, John tells you no one in your group of friends liked you all that much. At the end of it all, John hangs up on you. What do you make of this? Was your entire sense of self based on an illusion? Are you really not who you thought you were all those years you were growing up thinking that John and all those kids approved of you? Everything you did based on that assumption that these friends was a mistake, right? A lie? Or could John have been lying about it, distorting things through the lens of his own mental problems? Well, what's the end result? Even if you did believe your friend, quote, friend, you'd still be the same person. You'd still have accomplished the same things and the same successes based on the same beliefs. Only now you can see even more clearly that what other people think about you isn't what matters. It's what you thought about you. Now, there are two extremes to this behavior. On the far right is where you don't care what anybody thinks and you do only what you want. You become a sociopath with no real barometer of what is right and what is wrong. You act purely out of self-interest. On the left end of the spectrum is what I call the approval-seeking toady. He's a guy who's so totally caught up in being approved of, usually because his self-esteem was never built up by his parents, that he'll do just about anything to be liked. Now, the place you want to be is somewhere just to the right of the middle, between these two extremes. You have to be able to fit into society in some way, but you should not let too much of this majority thinking decide your life path. The vast majority of people do not aspire to the heights that you are going to, so you have to be willing to stand out and be different. If this means that a few people don't like who you are or what you do, then so be it. Oh, and if you think you can make everybody like you, you're in for a rude shock here. No matter what you do in life, there's always going to be people who don't like you. Get used to it. Alpha exercise. Nice guys often fall prey to hidden behaviors. They do things that they don't want others to know about, and as a result, it takes a toll on their character. Don't fall victim to this trap either. If you're doing something behind the scenes, it's time to clear it out of your life, whether it's surfing porn or prank phone calling your family or maybe stealing people's mail. Just find a way to purge this kind of behavior from your life. If necessary, seek professional help. This goes along with hiding your flaws. Don't be afraid to show others who you are and work to get rid of things that you wouldn't want others to know about. Live an honest lifestyle. You make the rules. Remember that life really has no rules. You can use someone else's or you can create your own. You can choose to make life a game or perhaps just a journey. It's up to you to decide what success is for yourself. Don't let others decide what you should or should not want. You are the ultimate judge of what constitutes success in your life. Be careful not to let images from the media confuse you as to what you stand for or what has real value. What you see is what looks good, the superficial, not what has lasting and real worth in the world. Here's an equation I want you to memorize. Resourcefulness equals flexibility plus creativity. An alpha man is the one who must pave his own road of success to travel. Your resourcefulness will determine how you make that journey, and your flexibility and creative abilities will determine that outcome. You must write your own rules to this game called life. That's what will earn you admiration from your peers and get you the respect from women you deserve. Risk-taking. Alpha men are risk-takers, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. You have to accept a certain level of risk into your life or you'll be dead way before your heart stops beating. You simply must learn to start enjoying risk, even romanticizing it. However, you must also learn how to actively assess reward. Risk without reward is stupid bravado, and you deserve to get your head handed to you in those situations. Part of risk-taking is consequence accepting, which is what we talked about before. Once you can accept that you are accountable and responsible for your actions, you're better prepared to take on the risks. Also, when you can accept the outcome of a situation, no matter what it might be, you can also feel better about the risk. The man who can accept that there's a risk that the woman that he's talking to will not be interested in him will always be more willing to approach women than the guy who just can't deal with that fact or that outcome. Your self-confidence, your alpha confidence, will determine how much you're willing to risk. If a man has low self-esteem, he will not be willing to risk much because he perceives the possible consequences to be far more painful than the reward would be pleasurable. So your willingness to risk will be a function of how much pain you're willing to accept. Many guys interpret the possibility of a woman's rejection to be a high-paying situation, and they hold themselves back from talking and interacting with women. The problem with this perception is that they've defined pain in a way that keeps them from succeeding. The pain of not acting winds up being 10 times more painful over the long run, and then the pain of not acting winds up being 10 times more painful over the long run than the possible rejection in the short term. But we ignore the cumulative situation. Think through the consequences of any risk you take and ask yourself if it really is that bad. Could you live with the outcome? In most cases, I bet you could. Don't live life playing nickel slots when you know you can step up to the big money table and get the rewards of life that others get. Life is risk. When you walk out the door in the morning, you risk 1,000 possible consequences. You get hit with a meteor. Your car could just explode. What's a few more? Alpha exercise. Make a list of the situations where you feel the most threatened by risk with women. After each situation, I want you to write down the worst situation that could actually happen. I'll give you an example list, but yours might vary a little bit. Number one, talking to a woman. Might be rejected, insulted, she walks away. Two, teasing a woman. Might get her pissed off, she walks away. Three, trying to kiss a woman. Might be pushed away, she might be angry. Four, trying to touch her sexually. Might get pushed away, might maybe slapped or yelled at, or she'll tell me to leave. Okay, now ask yourself, how bad would that consequence really be? Could you live with it? Would it hurt you physically, emotionally, financially, socially? Then ask yourself what that particular penalty would actually mean once you've accepted that you can actually handle it. If you walk up and talk to a woman and then she walks away and you can accept this pain, what would it really mean to you? To me, it just means one less woman I have to approach to find the one I want in my life. And if she walks away, she made it easier for me to figure out if she was worth my time and energy. Hey, better now than after a few expensive dinners. Next. And that should be your attitude after each one of these possible failures. Next. Now sit down and write down your list, exploring what you really feel the consequence of a failure might be in those situations. Once you really understand and accept the risk, you'll be much more willing to take it. Persistence. Alpha men are persistent. We do not give up at the first hint of an obstacle or failure. This is one of the most important traits of an alpha man because persistence will always bring you success. Always. Every single time. You may have to redefine your methods and even your goals slightly, but if you're persistent, you will win. I often quote the story of the squirrel-proof bird feeder as a prime example of this. The story goes something like this. A man has a bird feeder in his yard, and he hopes it's going to attract some interesting and exotic birds, so he stocks it with feed, but he discovers that a squirrel is stealing from the food every day. He constructs an intricate contraption to try and stop the squirrel from getting to the feeder, but somehow the squirrel always overcomes it, gets past the obstacles, and steals the bird feed. The man tries everything from putting nails on the post to chicken wire barricades, but every time, the squirrel gets in and eats the bird feed. Finally, after he's totally frustrated, he goes to a store in town and asks them if they have a bird feeder that can stop squirrels. They tell him they do, in fact, have a squirrel-proof bird feeder. It's only $99.99. He gladly pays the money and takes the bird feeder home. He sets it up and fills it with food, and the next day, the squirrel has cleaned it out completely of all the food from the bird feeder. Now, this guy's pissed. He's furious. He pulls the bird feeder out of the ground and takes it into the store where he bought it, demanding to see the salesperson who sold it to him. "Hey," he says, frustration rising in his voice, "I bought this bird feeder from you because it was supposed to be squirrel-proof. Well, the squirrel got into this one, too." The salesman nods and says, "Of course." The man's furious by now. He says, "What do you mean, of course?" "There is no such thing as a squirrel-proof bird feeder, sir." "What? No such thing? Why, that's false advertising. I could sue you. The salesman waves his hands. "Sir, please calm down. We'll be happy to refund your money. But let me ask you something first. Can you tell me how long you spend each day, on average, thinking of how to keep squirrels out of your bird feeder?" The man stops for a second and he thinks, "Well, a little over an hour or so, I suppose." The salesman nods and says, "Let's be generous and say it's 2 hours. Some days more, some days a little less. Now let me ask you this. How long do you think that squirrel spends thinking about how to get into your bird feeder?" The man stopped and wrinkled his brow. Well, the salesman smiled and said, "Every waking moment of his life." The point of the story is very clear. No goal can elude a man who finds the focus and persistence that that squirrel had. A squirrel. Come on, persistence. Never give up on your goals. Never give up on pursuing whatever it is you desire in life. The only man who fails is the one who gives up too soon. Never, ever quit. Giving up. The exception. there is one situation where I'll tell you that you're far better giving up than persisting. This is the dreaded situation where you find that you want to win back a woman you lost because you screwed up trying to be the alpha man and you didn't quite get it. I hear about this most often in the how do I win her back questions that I get pretty much daily in my email. The horrible truth is that you cannot win back a woman you've lost by acting like a beta guy. Okay? If you slipped into wimpy mode and lost your interest, you can't get her back by any other method except letting her go. Guys hate to make mistakes that we can't fix. I believe that men are honorable, and part of our evolutionary design is that we want to make things right. This means that when we screw up a relationship, we want to go back and fix it. And if the woman is suddenly no longer available to us, we thrive on the challenge of the hunt. The problem with this is that we get locked into these no-win scenarios where we pursue a woman to our own harm. The dilemma of the situation is that if you want to try and win a woman back, any way you do it, you're going to end up pushing her further away. Think about this. Number one, you could get a new woman that you can keep by behaving the right way for about 10% of the energy you're going to use trying to win her back. Number two, she becomes too important to you and an obsession starts to creep in. You're focused on her, convinced that she's suddenly special or one of a kind. And that is an illusion, by the way. Number three, the object of your desire picks up on this creepy focus and it spooks her. Number four, you feel her slipping away even faster, so you double your efforts and wind up doubling the inevitable results. She disappears twice as fast. And finally, five, and she's not really as fantastic as you really thought. We tend to distort and amplify the value of something that we cannot have. You see, Hollywood has brainwashed men into believing that they can win women back by suddenly becoming little pussies that relentlessly pursue women with flowers and poems, and eventually she's going to give in. Nothing could be further from the truth. The women that come back are the ones that realize on their own that the reasons they miss you are valid, not because you convinced them. I find it very interesting that most guys who want to win back a gal that they messed it up with become convinced that somehow this woman is the one for them, and she's now super, super special, completely unique. This is a distortion created by the I had her, I lost her, now I'm going to beat myself up over it instead of moving on syndrome. An alpha man knows that the only woman he can win back is the one he drops completely out of his life. Now, why does this work? Well, one, if she's going to be attracted to you, it's because you aren't obsessed with her. By dropping her out of your life completely, she'll be wondering, what's he doing? Who's he doing it with? And why isn't he begging me to come back? If you run into her at the store, you won't have a lost puppy look, and she'll wonder why you're doing so well without her when she's feeling so depressed. Number two, you can clear your head of all the nonsense that she's the only one for you and other crap like that. Only by getting some distance from her will you see the truth, that she's just another woman, and there are billions more on this planet, chum. Remember, there is no scarcity of women on planet Earth. And why else does it work? Well, number three, you're going to act much more confidently and congruently when you've got options. A man who has options is one that feels free and confident that he can have what he wants and that there is no scarcity. Without the last woman around to turn back to, your sexual energy will be turned into creative energy forward to find a new woman. Want to fight? I remember reading somewhere that most men have never actually been in a real fist fight. I find this is much more likely today, where children are encouraged to work out their differences in a much more civilized manner. Let me be clear about this. I encourage the new thinking that has changed our approach to anger management from lashing out to working it out. It's a step in the right direction for kids. But there's also a place in our society for a constructive use of hostility. We've gone too far in the wrong direction, brainwashed by a message that fighting is immature and bad. Hey, as I said before, I encourage working out problems before it reaches the point of a physical confrontation. However, you also have to do this without backing down from what you believe is right. There's an excellent book that I suggest you read, and it's one of the ones I list for a resource in this particular program. It's called The Lucifer Principle by Howard Bloom, and it describes how men are hardwired through our DNA to be warlike and occasionally violent. I'm sure at some point we may be able to evolve beyond this need, but for the time being, at least our foreseeable lifetimes, it's a fact of human existence. The reality is that humans do not evolve without some method of cultivating skills that ensure our survival, and we need aggression. We need that ability in ourselves as men. Sometimes you need to just stand up for what you believe in, and sometimes that means getting a little physical. Gender roles. Men are not all assholes and violent rapists. Women are not all emotional wrecks. Men who aspire to achieve, to climb the corporate ladder and succeed are not jerks or assholes. They are merely fulfilling a genetic need. We do have certain desires in us that are automatic and programmed because of our gender. We're also responsible to a certain degree to fulfill those roles. When we deny who we are by trying to be something that is not in our nature, we wind up with confusion. Witness how men have been convinced to lose their masculine behavior these days. When a man tries to be more sensitive, caring, and romantic, He's turned into the one thing that women do not want, a wimp. Women, on the other hand, are almost always looked at to be more nurturing and feminine. Aggressive women are not attractive to men except those that are already having a little problem with their own little gender identity there. Let me help you understand how your opinions of women have been shaped and distorted by the media. Ask anyone about the difference in the wages between men and women, and they'll tell you that women earn, on average, less than men. But have you ever asked yourself why this is? Well, the common assumption is that women earn less than men because of discrimination. We imagine that there's all these ass-slapping chauvinists in corporate America that are holding women back. But that's completely false. Here's the real deal, my alpha brother. Recent studies by economics professor June O'Neill found that among workers ages 27 to 33 who've never had a child, women earn 98% of what men do. Men and women also earn similar median starting salaries across most disciplines. What they also fail to tell you is that women earn more than men in many vocations. Female banking officers out-earn men by $15,000 a year, and female health industry managers make $18,000 more per year. So what accounts for the wage difference in all the statistics where they say that women only earn 76% of what men do? Well, number one, women generally have fewer years of work experience. They work fewer hours per year, and they're less likely to work a full-time schedule and leave the labor force for longer periods of time, often for family reasons, to have a baby and whatnot. Number two, women are also less likely to pursue degrees that lead to high-paying jobs like law, medicine, engineering, computer science, math, and science education. Number three, women tend to lose a lot of productivity due to leaving the labor force earlier to bear children. Not that women should be penalized for this, of course, but these absences from the workforce will have a repercussion on their earning power and professional development. Huh, how about that? Ultimately, this whole topic of women earning less than men is a bunch of bunk. Sure, there are some cases of discrimination out there, I'm sure, but on the whole, the reasons for the statistics you hear from the media are delivered in a way that it's easy to misinterpret. It's also easy to take that kind of misinformation and let it erode your sense of masculinity. After all, with all these bad, evil men out there doing bad, evil things to women, what right do you have in being a man? You must be bad, too. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't let it undermine your cocky male behavior. Alpha men never have to resort to dirty tricks or deceitful behavior to keep their place in the food chain. Honor is the way of the alpha man. Ways to develop your alpha power. This program is all about harnessing your alpha man power. What is the alpha power? Well, let's see what your alpha power does for you first. It decides your income. It decides the quality of woman that you will attract and keep, including the amount of sex you're going to get. It decides your friends. It decides your health and how long you'll live. It decides whether you're going to live your own dreams or somebody else's. It decides how happy you're going to be over your lifetime. It decides your standing and power at work, and many other things. Are you starting to get the picture now? Are you starting to see how you cannot afford to fall into a lower layer of the social pecking order? In my life and from my observation, there seem to be some layers of hierarchy in our social pyramid, but there's really only one important distinction. Either you're an alpha man or you're not. And if you're not an alpha man, you're not the first choice for women. Or even the first choice for a job, or the first choice for the dodgeball team, or really much of anything. You might think you can still do well by settling for beta status, or maybe even some other lower level, you know, but that's a huge chunk of horseshit that's going to keep you mediocre for the rest of your life. Do not settle. Aspire. The lead sled dog gets the view. All the rest of the dogs get to see is ass. Your very existence depends on learning and acquiring the behaviors of the alpha man. In fact, if there's anything you can do to improve your overall quality of life, it's to increase your alpha status in the herd called humans. Here's some more examples of alpha men. John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., Arnold Schwarzenegger, Alexander the Great. Yes, I know he was gay, but he was still an alpha guy. Maximus from Gladiator, William Wallace, you know, Braveheart, Indiana Jones, Don Juan, Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. Look, you don't have to like any of these guys for them to be alpha men, but you better believe that they still typify the primal male essence. I shall be closer to you for the next few days, which will be the last of your miserable lives, than that bitch of a mother who first brought you screaming into this world. I did not pay good money for your company. I paid it so that I might profit from your death. And just as your mother was there at your beginning, I shall be there at your end. And when you die, and die you shall, your transition will be to the sound of, as he claps his hands, gladiators, I salute you. Proximo from Gladiator. Always have a say. One of the best ways you can demonstrate your alpha man character is to make sure that you have input in every situation that comes your way. You may not get to decide, but you should always have a say. Never go along just to be easygoing. By the way, most easygoing guys are not respected for their relaxed attitude by anyone other than other guys. Women don't find the slacker attitude attractive. easygoing often looks just like wimp. You must have an influence on your world. In some situations, especially those with women, you have to display total control over the situations you encounter, bar none. This doesn't mean you completely disregard a woman's input when you're making plans to do something. It merely means that you never, ever let her decide the plans for you without any input from you. Here's what you say when this behavior shows itself. Dear, I appreciate your enthusiasm in planning this out for us, but in the future, I want you to consult with me too. I need to have input on these plans, okay? Great. Don't wait for an answer or an agreement. Assume it. Don't be a dick, but don't be a mushy pile of, yes, dear, I hope I didn't anger you, dear. If you make a plan and she tries to change it slightly, I recommend that you change it slightly in another way that she didn't. In other words, create a third alternative. Early on, anyways. After you've established your alpha man dominance with her, you can then allow her to make changes that are conscientiously accommodating. Don't appear inflexible, but do appear decisive. If, on the other hand, she makes a change to your plan that is drastically different, you need to put your foot down. This is a test. It's also called a shit test in some circles, and it must be stomped out immediately. You let her know that radical changes to your plans are unacceptable. You're going to be using that word quite a bit, by the way, as an alpha man, so start using it now. You tell her that you can either find somebody else to share the plans with, or she can go along without you. Here's another phrase I think you should add to your mantras. This topic is open for discussion, but closed for debate. This simply means that you can talk about the decision, but it stands as it is. An alpha man puts his foot down on certain subjects, and women respect him for it. Learn to love a challenge. True alpha men absolutely love a challenge. Think about what usually happens in most situations. Once an obstacle is figured out or you learn how to handle it, there's usually no more fun. It's like being able to solve one of those puzzles where there's two interlocked metal rings and a funny shape, you know those things, and you have to figure out how to separate the two. Once you know the secret, it's no longer really any fun. So learn to love the process of figuring out the puzzles in life. Women are a puzzle. Success in overcoming your personal obstacles is a puzzle. Life is one big puzzle. That's all we've got to do for our entire lives is figure out solutions to the challenges that you're presented with. That's what we are as human beings. We're problem solvers. Learn how to enjoy these problems and challenges, because without challenges, this world is incredibly boring. Alpha men will not sacrifice their self-esteem in the pursuit of a challenge, but they are persistent to the end. Long-term vision versus short-term rewards. Canadian psychologists have done a study that showed that men who were shown pictures of beautiful women were much more likely to accept a smaller short-term reward than a larger long-term reward. The men who were shown pictures of average women were willing to wait for a larger return with an indefinite delivery date. So what does this prove? Well, we know that there are enticements that men find more valuable in the short term. We choose a really hot woman with a bitchy personality over a decent woman with a good personality because we're hardwired to desire hot women, even when it's not the most advantageous thing to do. The simple fact is that a good woman, one you can stand to be around long term, is always the one with the relaxed and flexible personality, never the bitch. Low maintenance is the way to go. But sometimes a quick fix of pleasure is more interesting and, unfortunately, addictive. This is the same kind of risk-reward behavior that gamblers fall prey to. There are two kinds of pleasures in life, the short-term cotton candy pleasures and the long-term fulfilling pleasures. Knowing which is which and knowing when to choose them is one of the alpha man's most important skills. The longer you can delay your gratification, the more success you'll find in life, and the more satisfying the results will be. You need to focus on your long-term goals in life and keep the short-term steps in front of you at all times. If what you want right now conflicts with those goals, then you're going to wind up sabotaging your success. Alpha strategy. Always engineer short-term pleasures into the goals that you set for yourself. When you complete part of the overall big goal plan, make sure you reward yourself appropriately. Back in another career when I was getting certifications for different technologies, I made it sure to go out and buy myself something I wanted as a reward after I passed the test and got the certification. Don't reward yourself before the fact or you destroy the power of the strategy. Your nervous system will learn that doing the work gets you the goodies. And this is a good time for me to highlight a very important problem that we see in society these days, which is mortgaging the present to get future success. In other words, we go into debt. We actually sacrifice our lives in a lot of ways to get present success. In other words, we can buy cool things. We can experience success in advance. And later on down the road, we'll pay for it. Hey, you know, we can pay for that later on. That's in the future. See, human beings are hardwired in a lot of ways against their own success. And this is one of the dangerous little things that is facilitated in our society. Think about consumer debt, credit card debt, you know, these things that we can go into debt for to get cool stuff now that later on we're going to have to pay for. Oh, and guess what? later on, you're probably going to want more cool things too, so this never ends. Don't try to experience success in advance. Pay the price for success, and it will be yours. State of mind. In order to be in control of your life, you need to be in control of your mind. A large number of the people out there are running around as slaves to emotional impulses in their lives. Self-discipline, a key trait of the alpha man, is the ability to stop and choose your reaction to events. What makes this task so difficult is the presence of moods in your life. Moods are the temporary up and down states of your emotions. You can't really control them because, by their nature, moods are often unpredictable. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have some skills to counter bad moods when they come from time to time. Occasionally, we all lose our happy thought. Life is not always kind or convenient, but a man's ability to go with the flow of things, not being too shaken up by life's more unfortunate events, is something that a woman will always find attractive. Keep in mind that women are much more subject to the ups and downs of their emotions. They're looking for a man who can serve as an island in the stormy seas of their turbulent moods. They don't want or need a man that they think they're going to have to take care of, which is why you need to have your shit together before you enter the singles marketplace in a lot of ways. No one goes out looking intentionally for damaged goods. So you need to find your own methods to attain a calmness and peace to your life that you can then project to others. These next alpha exercises I'm going to give you are going to give you a few ways to do this. Now, I want to emphasize that you must take the time to do these exercises. No other work you will do in your life is as important as learning to focus and discipline your mind. Memorizing a few clever things to say to a woman won't do you a bit of good if you can't deliver them from a stable and grounded place. You'll have all the effectiveness of a bad actor reading lines that he just doesn't believe. Alpha exercise 1, meditation. Meditation is one of the most effective ways of calming the mind and stabilizing your emotional state. People have claimed some wild phenomena has happened to them during practiced meditation, but you only need to focus on the very practical benefits of controlling your thoughts. Okay, this isn't supernatural stuff. Thoughts are like cats, and they can be difficult to herd. It's a skill, actually, and it's one you must develop with a little practice. Some of the positive benefits of meditation are focused attention, spiritual peace, less frequent mood swings, lowered stress, higher perceptive ability, more positive thinking, improved character, heightened willpower, self-discovery, developing latent mental abilities, improved athletic ability, and much more. So much more, including improved seduction ability with women, by the way. All meditations require you to do is sit in a cool, not warm, because that's going to put you to sleep, room in a comfortable position. You can sit on a cushion on the floor, but don't sit in a chair with a back, as you're going to tend to slump your posture. There should be no noise or distractions in the room. Unplug the phone and turn off your cell phone. Also, wear some loose-fitting clothes so you don't have to adjust yourself every minute or two. At no time should you fall asleep during this process, though this may happen from time to time as you learn how to relax. Try to keep your mind awake, but as blank as possible. It's an interesting and dynamic state to be in. Once you've gotten comfortable, you can begin with one of these meditation methods. Number 1, simple countdown. Close your eyes and breathe slowly. Deep breaths in and out. Deep breaths in and out. Proper breathing comes from the diaphragm, or stomach breathing as it's sometimes called. You'll know you're doing this correctly when your stomach puffs in and out much more than your chest. Try to clear your mind of all thoughts. What you're going to do is start at 20 and count down to 0. Each time you do that, you must see the numbers as you count. 20, 19, 18, seeing those numbers in the air. If you catch yourself thinking of anything else, bills you haven't paid, people you need to call, movies you want to see, whatever the thought is, you have to start all over again at 20 and count all the way down over again. Keep doing this until you can count down all the way to 0 with no distracting thoughts. Now, it's going to take quite some time to be able to complete this, and don't be surprised if you can't count down to 0 the first several dozen times you try. It might take you a long time to just get from 20 to 15. It takes quite a while to calm your thoughts and let go of the distractions. When you've been able to complete a count of 20, start trying to do the same thing from 50 and from 100. Pretty soon, you're going to find yourself being able to do this without having to use the numbers, instantly finding that calm place in your thinking. Number 2 is the water bubble. Imagine that you're sitting cross-legged, floating on the surface of a smooth lake. You start to sink through the surface, but the water does not wet your skin. You're enclosed in a perfect bubble of air that allows you to breathe as you float downward. Fish and other marine life swim around you, but you keep floating down and down and down. The further you float down, the more your mind clears. All the distracting thoughts evaporate. By the time you settle on the bottom of the lake, your mind is completely blank, but aware. Open eyes. For this meditation, you're actually going to be doing it with your eyes open. Find some object that you want to contemplate. It could be a statue or a plant or a picture. Place it in front of you in a position that doesn't require you to move to see the detail of it. Choose one point to focus on and stare at it until your mind goes blank. Look at the object and just take in as much of the detail as you can, and then move to another part of it and contemplate that part. Keep looking until you can see beyond the obvious. The objective here is to let go of all the thinking that normally stops you from seeing the true detail and the beauty of an object that you might normally just take for granted. The state of mind that you want to achieve here is where you can take on the role of an observer to the thoughts that flicker through your mind. Remember, you can't really stop your thinking. Thoughts happen whether you want them to or not, but you don't have to hold on to them either. The point is to let them pass by like water rushing by you in a river. You don't grab on to any of them or get distracted. This exercise will help you keep your cool in just about every situation because you're going to have a new frame of reference to understand when your thoughts are getting carried away from you. You'll also be able to control those moments of male panic and anxiety that may appear from time to time.